అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నతిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందగోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి గంగ తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టాం సాబీదాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాది స్వపదాందియం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతా పదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాదం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతిదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణే. నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తిసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీది నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానవిదేవి దైదాయా కృపాబ్దయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయినే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్జ్వల ప్రేమాది శ్రీరూపానుగభక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణే రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాభ సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణే. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబర సాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయదే నమః. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనుగవరాయదే. గౌరావిర్భవభూమిస్తుం నిర్దోష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియాః వైష్ణవసార్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః. వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయ దే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తికం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే. సురదౌభాంగోర్మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వపదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యబృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీశ్రీరాధాశీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాళిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభి వంశీ వటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనిర్గోభిర్గోపినాథ శ్రీయస్తునాః. తప్తకాంచనగౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Parthaya Pradipoditam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Graditam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrata Varshinim Bhagavadim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatva Manusandhadami Bhagavad Gide Bhavadveshinim Namostu Devyasa Vishala Buddhe Bhullara Vindaya Davatra Netra Yena Tvaya Bharata Taila Purna Prajwalido Jnanamaya Pradipa Prabhanna Parijataya Totra Vetraiga Banaye Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya Gita Amrata Duhe Namam Upanishadau Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amrutam Mahat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagad Gurum Shmadrona Dada Jayadrata Jala Gandhara Nilo Ulpala Shalya Grahavadi Krivena Vahani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwathama Vigarna Ghora Magara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Kalubanda Vairananadi Kaivartaga Keshavam Para Sharyavajasaroja Mamalam Gidartha Gandholkadam Nana Kyanaga Kesaram Harikata Sambhodhana Bodhidam Logai Sajjana Shalpadaira Haraha Pebi Yamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pangaja Kalimala Pradhvam Sina Shreyase Mugam Karodi Vajalam Pangam Langayade Girim Yalkrubatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marudastvan Vandi Divyai Stavair Vedair Sangabadair Kramopanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaha Dhyana Vastita Tadgadena Manasa Pashyandiyam Yogino Yasyandam Navidu Sura Suraganai Devaya Tasmai Nama
Last Sunday, we have just spoken a little bit about the qualities Krishna says for cultivating spiritual knowledge. Jnana sadhana called, not bhakti sadhana, jnana sadhana he calls them. Why they are called jnana sadhana? Because Krishna is saying to us, fundamental principle is, when old age comes, and before the body leaves us, internally we have to give up this body. Internally we have to give up the body. That is the fundamental principle based on which Krishna is speaking all those things. That means before the old age comes and before the body leaves us, inside we have to leave the body. Externally we don't have to throw it out, it will go anyway. But internally, we have to give it up, inside that connection between us and the body. So, Krishna is saying that to get yourself free from that grip of the body, how the body is holding us so strongly now at the moment, the only possibility is that Krishna says, these qualities which Krishna is going to talk about now on, Amanitvam, Adambitvam onwards, Ahimsa, Chandi, Arjavam, all that qualities, Krishna says, if you cultivate these qualities, it will loosen the grip of this body on you. body's grip on you. Body has got a strong grip on us, isn't it? We know that very well. When you get sick, you know how it is, that grip, how strong that grip is. So to loosen that grip, Krishna says, these qualities will help. But these qualities alone is not sufficient. Finally, Krishna says, finally to cut that connection between the body and the self, realization is necessary, self-realization. When self-realization happens, it's once for all, it's cut. Then. So that is how these verses we've started discussing. We also seen there that great, great devotees also, this is what they have prayed to Krishna. That initially they have come to Krishna with some request through their problem with their health or some other problems in life, whatever it is. Everybody, if you look at them, you will see the same thing. Ditto. Everything is the same thing they have to say to Krishna. First they will say to Krishna, release us from this problem, that problem. Finally they realize the problem is not going to be solved. Problem is only solved when this connection is broken with the body. Isn't it? That is the most important thing. Deha moham, it is called, attachment to the body. That illusion that this body is the reality, that is deha moham. That is why he said, I mentioned this also last Sunday, that Melpatur said to Krishna, Hihi me deha moham tyaja, pavanapiradi shayal premahedo, dehe vite kalatradishuja, tulpadam vismarandi. Svayam neshunova paramihabaradam sa ambradam cha akshikarnam tuk jihvagre vikarshandi avashamadaida kopinatval padabje. This dehamoham, dehamoham, hihi me dehamoham, dehamoham is too strong in us, isn't it? It is very difficult to give up this dehamoham, no matter how hard. We'll try very hard, we'll talk about it, but when it comes to your own body, you know how it will pull you down. All your strength is lost at that point, isn't it? Yel prema hedo gehe vite kalatra dishu. Because of this body, what happened? We got attached to the house, wife, children, family, society, all because of this body. Otherwise, where is the connection with this world? It is because of this body all the extensions have happened, is it not? Gehe vite kalatra dishujadam tulpadam vismarandi. Because of that, what happened? I've forgotten you. We have forgotten Krishna because of that. That's the result of all this. All these extensions resulted in this. Soyam vaneshunova paramihaparato. That this body's end is either it is going to be eaten by the fire. Soyam vane shunova, or there are certain people who don't burn the body, they throw the body, like among the Parsi community. They throw the body and it's eaten by the animals. Soyam vane shunova paramihabarado sampradam cha akshi karnam tukji kwa grei vikarshandi. And when you have the body, what is the problem? These five senses. Tuk jihwa. Akshi, Karnam, all of them, the five senses, vigar rishandi, they crush you with their desires and their needs, isn't it? Avashamadaida kopinatval padabjem. And because of that, we become very weak, because of this senses demand, in other words. Senses demands everything. Tongue wants to eat nicely, eyes wants to see nice things, the ears want to hear, like this it goes on. So nobody, none of the senses are telling us to take our attention to Krishna. Everything is towards the vikarshandi. Vikarshandi means it actually crushes us. And what happens? We become avashamatayita. Avasha means helpless. We become helpless. Then he said, durvaro deha moham yadi punaradhuna tarhi nishesha rogan bhatva bhaktim dradishtam kuru tavapadabangeruhe pangajaksham. If it is not possible to do that, Melpatur says to Krishna, durvaro dehamoham, this dehamoham, it is very difficult. If it is, I know it is difficult, he says, but if it is difficult, yadi punar adhuna tarhi nishesha rogan bhaktim kritva bhaktim dradishtvam, even when I am in this body, give me bhakti. If you give me bhakti, he says, at least that will take me to that goal finally. It will end up in that state.
Tabaktim dradishtvam kuru tavapadamangeruhe pangajaksha.
Krishna is addressed as pangajaksha. Pangajaksha means one who has got the lotus eyes. So, O lotus eyed one, take me to you, develop, give me that bhakti towards you, so that and make that bhakti stronger.
Hrutva bhaktim dradishtvam.
Dradishtvam means very strong, very deep bhakti inside. If you give me that bhakti toward tava padabangeruhe pangajaksha, unto your Krishna's lotus feet.
Nunam nana bhavande samadigadamimam muktidam vipradeham.
After passing through so many different bodies, I have come to this body, human body. And among this human body, Melpatur says, I have got this Brahmana's body.
Nunam nana bhavande samadigadamimam muktidam vipradeham.
And this body, if it is utilized properly, it's capable of offering you the final result. Of what is that? The final result is liberation.
Muktidam vipradeham. Nunam nana bhavande samadhigadam imam muktidam vipradeham.
But instead what has happened? I did not take notice of that.
Kshudreha handamama kshipa vishaya rasau pahimam marudesha.
That instead of what I have done,
Kshudreha handa,
I simply engaged my body in silly enjoyment in this world. In Kshudram, Kshudram means very silly things, very limited happiness, what going to come from this body. And I've utilized body for Vishayarasam.
Vishaya Visharase.
Vishayarasam means sense enjoyment and the happiness that we get from that. Pahimam Marudeshaham. Therefore, protect me, Mitpatur said to Krishna. So, devotees' prayers are always like that. Finally, they have to come to the proper understanding. Initially, they will start with the problem, but then they will know no problem can be solved within the framework of material body. Keeping the material body to solve the problem is not possible. Unless we get released from this body, there is no final solution to that. So, that is why when we say give up the body means internally that connection has to break. Inside, the connection has to break. Because you can see, in reality, we have no connection with the body. Actually, we have no connection with the body. Most of the people find it very, very difficult when you say this to them, that you have no connection with the body. In Shastram, they use the word kalpaniyam. It is only a kalpana, that is. Kalpaniyam. Kalpaniyam means it is some assumed connection. It's not real. It's an assumed connection with the body, what we have. So, in fact, in reality, there is no connection with the body. What we have is bodily identification. Abhimanam. Abhimanam means that identity with the body. That is what it. Reality, there is no connection with the body and the self. And so, in other words, sometimes we say that I am in the bodily consciousness. That is a wrong statement actually. There is no thing called a bodily consciousness. Because that is a wrong usage, bodily consciousness. Because bodham, consciousness does not know the body. Consciousness does not know the body. What it is, consciousness does not know the body, and body also does not know the consciousness. It is a difficult thing for all of us to accept that, isn't it? But this is what the Shastram is saying to us. Body has no connection with the consciousness. Consciousness has no connection with the body. It is due to our ajnanam inside, avidya inside, we accepted it that way. That is the mistake. That we have accepted there is a connection with the body and the consciousness. In reality, there is no connection for the consciousness and the body. Consciousness and the body. You can see, body never say I am, does it? Body never say I am. What it is that even if you break up your body into parts, hands, legs, head, toes, everything separately, it will never say that I am. None of the parts will say. And you suppose the hand is broken, then hand will not say, I am belong to such and such a person, or I am something, nothing. So similarly, once the hand is broken and you take the hand off, and if you pinch the hand, you won't feel anything there, would you? You don't feel anything there. And you can also see there that if you take the legs off, the leg doesn't think I am something. Leg doesn't think I am something. So, so whatever parts you have broken away from this body, from this gross body, still you can see there that in spite of all that, your identification as I am, it never gets reduced. It remains the same. That pure consciousness, it remains the same. It remains the same. So, that experience, I am, my full awareness existing all the time, and I never feel any reduction in there, in my identity with the self as I am, I never feel any reduction there, do I? Even if my hands are cut off, legs are cut off, still I am remains full. My awareness remains full. I don't say, because 50% of my body has gone, 50% of my consciousness doesn't go. My consciousness remains full, still I am it is. Isn't it? So, because is that, you can see this also, when they do the operations, when the doctors, when they do the operations, that this awareness inside is so full up, that when they do the operation on the heart, you can see there that for a short period of time they stop the heart and then they make the start to function again, restart the whole thing again. And at that time also, when they restart, they get back the full consciousness back again as they had before, which they had just stopped due to anesthetic power, what they have temporarily stopped. But they can bring that back again of that awareness in full without any reduction. So if you break away the body into parts, in the parts there is no awareness. It's only awareness is totally in the self, in the coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. And the way the whole thing works is an amazing experience, that this awareness inside is keeping this whole thing together. And irrespective of cutting off the body, everything, that awareness has no death. It is on this principle that the first verses come in the Ishavanishad. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. It is coming from this understanding. That body you can break, soul you can't break. Bhagavad Gita also says the same thing, isn't it? It is that principle that has come to Ishavanishad. The first verse, Purnamadam, always Purnam. That is the qualification of the soul. Always Purnam. Never you cannot any time change it, take it, bring it down, reduce it or add it or anything like that. It's always Purnam. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnam Udachyate, Purnasya, Purnam Adaya, Purnameva Avashishyate. In all ways they are explaining that Purnasya, always Purnam, Purnam Adaya, if you take anything it is still Purnam, and what remains is Purnam, and what you have taken is Purnam. Of course, from the soul, from infinite consciousness, individual consciousness has come. Individual consciousness is Purnam, that supreme consciousness is also Purnam. Is it not? Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. That is that Purnada. Purnada means that perfection in the soul. This is an important thing. So, in that consciousness, the body comes. Body stays for some time and body disappears. That's what is happening, isn't it? Body comes, in that consciousness the body comes. In that Purnada, body comes, which is Apurnam. And that body grows, changes, have different experiences, birth, death, old age, disease, Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti, all these different experiences all happening in the body. And for some time it stays, remains, and finally disappears and goes away. So practically from this we have to understand what we have at that point in time is our identification with that body, what we have got like that. Abhimanam, they call it. Abhimanam.
So, abhimanam. That abhimanam is what we have got. We don't have any connection with the body. So, actually what we are struggling is with this abhimanam. Abhimanam means this pride or ahankaram, what we have. That is our whole problem. That's our whole problem. So, from that abhimanam, only this I am this body has come, isn't it? Because there is abhimanam in us, based on that ego or abhimanam, from there came this concept that I am this body. This ajnanam has come in that way. So, because of that, because it doesn't agree with the pramanam. Pramanam means authority. And therefore, it's called apramanikam. Apramanikam means it's not pramanam. Pramanam is not acceptable. This understanding that from abhimanam or ahankaram came, I am this body. Now, because of that abhimanam or ahankaram, I am this body, that has happened. Because of that this identification has come. And due to that, all other bad qualities has come to us. All the other bad qualities has come to us. because pramanam is, I'm not this body. Pramanam is, I'm not this body. And when that develops in a person, when that knowledge, I'm not this body, develops in a person, in him, all the good qualities and divine consciousness develops. In a person, I am this body, in whom it develops that quality of I am this body, in him, all bad qualities and demonic consciousness builds up. This is the end result of that. From abhimanam or pride or ahankaram comes the identification with the body. Identification with the body. When the identification with the body is strong, all the bad qualities will naturally come in and demonic nature also will come there. When you have, that is the ajnanam. The jnanam side is, I am not this body. When that knowledge is strong in a person, that I am not this body, automatically what will happen is, in him, all the good qualities will come and the result is that Devi Sambhata. Devi Sambhata means divine nature will also build up in that person in a natural way. In a natural way this will happen. That's what Krishna is saying there. That is the important thing to remember. That people ask this question, isn't it? We are fighting, I'm not this body. We keep saying. Keep saying is not enough. Why did this happen? This situation developed. That's the question we have to ask first. Reason is that ahankaram built up inside, or abhimanam, due to that abhimanam or ahanda, what has happened is we started identification with the body. Result of identification with the body is all these bad qualities, what we call as the kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, asuya, madam, malsaryam, all other things, envy, all sorts of things has come because of that. If the knowledge is inside that I am not this body, then in a natural way Krishna says all the good qualities will come there. Very straightforward, it will come there. And not only they will come, that it will also happen in that way, divine nature will build up in a person. So the question is, suppose I am this body. Now look at the other side. Suppose I am this body, and if the body alone is the truth, then what will I think? Suppose I have that conviction that I am this body, and if body is the only truth, then I will think, if I rip off someone, what's wrong? Isn't it? If I am this, this is how it works. You can see this, how the system works. If you think you are the body, if I am thinking I am this body, and the body is all everything, nothing else than this body, naturally, the direction of thinking will be, if I rip off someone or take somebody else's things and for myself, what's the harm? This will be the next step. What will happen from that? That's what will happen. This is that how much damage that bodily identification does to us. You see, when Krishna says about Brahmanam, Brahmana's quality is that, isn't it? Freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, everything freedom from these things. Whereas one who has strong identification with the body, mind and everything, totally opposite things happens to them. So, So the principle is that if that is the identity, then what is the next thing? I want to live happily in this world. That's all what it matters. What others, anything happens to others, doesn't matter. That it is from this principle Charvaka Maharshi started. Charvaka's philosophy came from this. He says, remember that Charvaka's philosophy? He says there that Kṛṇam Kṛtvā Ghṛtam Pipet, famous statement, because Charvaka was believed in that. He said nothing after death. You are living now, live nicely, enjoy well. So because of that he says, borrow as much as you want. Whichever bank, credit card, whatever you can get, as much credit as possible, get it everything. Buy plenty of ghee and eat well and sleep well, enjoy life, he says. Charvaka says this, isn't it? So that is there, Charvaka's philosophy. He is saying there is only body, it's all body only, nothing else. All other things are just stories, he said. People build up stories around that. So whatever time you have, live nicely, eat well, drink well, and be merry. So that is why you can see that word itself, Charvakam, comes from the word Charu Vacham. Vacham means the words. Charu means one who speaks nicely, pleasing to you. Everybody likes to hear that, isn't it? If somebody tells you, live well, nicely, enjoy life, and you like it, but somebody tells you, be austere, don't control your senses, nobody wants to hear that, isn't it? You tell someone, enjoy life, they'll embrace you for giving such a valuable advice. But if you tell someone, don't do it, control your senses, control your mind, nobody thinks that, they think you're their enemy, isn't it? You're their enemy. You can see this principle, how true even today. It is true if you look into the society very carefully. You see, when the children are born, every jiva, when it comes to the world, it wants to escape from this numerous bodies what it has gone through. It wants to escape. Now, instead, if the parents don't, he is looking for some help. On his own, he is finding it difficult to get that detachment from this world, renunciation, vairagyam from this world. So he is looking for help. So what happens normally, parents think that to make him happy or the child happy, you start giving him everything all the time to make the child happy. Actually, whenever you have done that to the children, those children, when they grow up, you will see they will turn against you if you do that to them. That's exactly what happens. Because jiva on his own wants help from the world to come out of this miserable existence. And he's looking for help. And he's expecting help from the parents and the relations, everybody. Instead, if they engage them in sense gratification, a stage comes in their own life later when they realize that they're finding it difficult to free themselves from the grip of this world. If you observe this clearly in this world, you can see this. That how does people become terrorists? The underlying principle is the same thing. If a society which continuously engages in sense gratification, some jiva among them finds it extremely difficult to live with that sense gratification for a long period of time, and then they want to come out. So what do? They go exactly in the opposite direction. The very people who are born in that society of sense gratification, they turn against that sense gratification. And wherever they can get hold of some other philosophy, they'll hold on to that and get out of this. This is what's happening all the time. Many of these young boys who turns out to be terrorists, bomb making and all that, it has come from this, that society is not helping them to escape from this. Instead, society is full of people who are continuously engaging and encouraging sense gratification. So what will happen? The very people, they turn against the society and they become bomb-making and they'll go and join to some other philosophy where it is the other extreme. Everything forced on you. And they'll take in that direction. And that's what finally find it difficult. And they, because they don't want to live with this society anymore, which is continuously disturbing their life. So up to a stage, certain stage, you can see that this body, this argument, Charvaka's argument, it will go up to a certain stage. Up to what stage? Up to a certain stage. When is that stage? When the body starts showing its real nature. Charvaka's philosophy of enjoying life will last only up to a certain time, up to the point when the body starts giving serious trouble. When the body gives you a lot of pain and a lot of problems, at that time you start realizing that that philosophy doesn't work. It's not practical. You can say about this, Charvaka's philosophy, you can preach that, but it's not practical. It's not practical. At that point, so that is why, little by little, to escape from the body, Uparamam it is called. Krishna uses the word Uparamam. In the 6th chapter, he uses the word Uparamam. Uparamam means this freeing from this happiness of bodily enjoyment. Uparamam. So in the Tadat Tadascha Uparamaha Mahabharatam, there is this Medhavi Upakhyanam, Bhishma Vidamaha says about that. He says there that little by little, a Brahmana, or Brahmana who is in a knowledge, he should develop that detachment from the body and detachment from all bodily activities. He says that he will attain peace. Finally, he will attain Shanti or peace. This is the Bhishma statement in the Mahabharata. So, the knowledge what is required for that, he should acquire, no matter where it comes from. You have to get it. How to get this freedom from the body. And no matter from whom you get it, the goal at the final it is that before the death comes, that he should know the secret of death. The secret of death. So, one who has learned this, that before death happens for the body, that one who has learned how to die, for him death is not a problem. That means before that, finally the body leaves us, and before that, if you have learned about death, how death is properly in consciousness, if you understood that, then for that person death is not a problem. Before death happens, one who has seen the death. Seeing the death means, doesn't mean that you die. Experience of that death inside, in consciousness. That, what is death? Isn't it? It has happened to many, many big people. They have experienced death before actually death came. Death came to them. And for him, death is not a problem. You will see this in the Nachiketa's saying this, in Kathopanishad. He says that when he asked Yama Dharmaraja, he says to him, what is Mrityu? He says, what is Mrityu? He is asking that question there, isn't it? He says, what is Mrityu? And he say, Yama says to him, does not want to discuss death with Nachiketas. Yama does not want to discuss death with Nachiketas. Yama is trying to avoid that question of death. If you study Kathopanishad, you will see a very interesting change there happens. Nachiketa says, I want to know who is it? What is this death? You are the controller of the death, Yama, he says to him. So finally, he understood, Nachiketa understood, after Yama has spoken everything, in the first chapter you will see, Yama says to him that death is not something that I want to discuss, but I will offer you everything else. But Nachiketa says, I don't want anything else, I want to know about the death. Look at that Shraddha in that boy. Nachiketa is only a little child. And Shraddha is so good that he wanted to know only about the death, nothing else. And finally when he got it, he realizes that this knowledge of the death is necessary even before the death happens. In the Upanishad it goes like that. Knowledge of the death, it is a very long discussion in the Kathopanishad, isn't it? If you look, you will see there. That before the death happens, that experience of death has happened to Nachiketas. And Yama Dharmaraja gave him that experience to him. Similarly, if you look into Lord Buddha and many others, Ramana Maharshi also, all of them, they experience death before death has happened. And equally, it is the same thing in our case also, that when we sometime in life, we should also know what this death means. What this thing called death means. Actually, we are now at the moment living in an imaginary world. Is it not? We are thinking the body will be like this forever. And body will, if there is any problem, you can always sort it out with some patchwork, something. But the truth is not that the body has no, actually we are carrying death with us. We are carrying the death with us. And we don't realize this, that the body, another name of the body is death. Mrityu is another name given to that. So, only if you transcend this death through knowledge, the realization is possible. Realization is possible. So, Upanishad says like this, that avidyaya is the cause of this situation what we are now. Avidyaya tirtha mrityum ashnuti. Mrityu means another name of this body is mrityu, death in other words. This body is mrityu dancing. What we call as body today is death dancing. It is death, finally it's meant for death. So body is another name for death. Body is another name for death. So so you can see this, because in the body also continuously death is happening, isn't it? Because it's changing, you can see. Death is a continuous process inside this body. And so many times we are dead. That also we are not conscious of. The childhood body is not there. Boyhood body is not there. Youthful body is not there. Then the old age body has come. That will also in the same way, it will go. So, Kaumaram has gone. Yavanam will go. Vardakim will come. Old age will come. So, that body, which when we were a child, that body is not existing anymore. It has gone, come and gone, isn't it? Similarly, youthful body, teenager's body, that's all come and gone, come and gone. But still, what do we say? I am still living, isn't it? Where is this? This is called that ajnanam inside. This is ajnanam it is, isn't it? Anyone can understand this. That body I had when you were a boy or a young man, where is that body now? So, but I have not changed. The body has changed. So you can see that everything has changed. Hair is gone. The teeth has gone. And so many times death has already happened inside in this form itself. So many times death has happened. But still I'm not thinking, I'm not accepting the death, isn't it? So, but when these changes are happening in the body, you are not frightened. But when final death is coming, you are frightened. See that difference there? When the finally death is happening, that we are frightened about that. Oh, death is going to come. Why is that? That's an interesting thing, isn't it? You know that you are 5 or 10 years old, that body, that's gone. Long ago it's gone. How many years ago? 40, 50 years ago it's gone. Then you had a teenager's body. That's gone about 30 years ago. Then the youthful body, also part of it is gone. Part of it is on its way. And so body has gone many times. We didn't take notice of it and we didn't get frightened about it. But now when you get older, you're getting frightened. Oh, I'm going to die. Why is that? Why does that happen? This is an interesting question, isn't it? In Jnanamargam, all these things are discussed very much in depth. Because otherwise this ajnanam inside won't go. Ajnanam inside won't go. So that is why Krishna is saying here, this is not a topic, because that to clear that understanding is why Krishna said that words, Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe. To make this clear to us. Dehinosmin Yatha Dehe Kaumaram Yavanam Jaram Tatha Dehandara Prapti Dhirastatrana Mukhyati. So Krishna's point is that why do you take this death very seriously? You have been dying all the time. As a child, as a teenager, a young man, and a middle-aged man. Every time you are dying and another change is happening, a new body is created in you. And then finally this body also goes. That's why he's saying there, Tatha Dehandara Prapti. It's only a Dehandara Prapti. What body you have at the old age, that you leave and you take a completely new body. So, and Krishna says there that how it has happened in the similar way, this body also will one day drop, and no, another body won't come on the same form, on the same frame. on the same frame another body won't come. Only thing is that when you think about it, you're feeling fearful. But after you're dead, you won't know anything about it. Nothing will know. Because we have no connection with this body. Once a body goes away, you know that you won't feel any pain and you won't be crying that I lost my body. You won't be crying that after you lost the body, would you? Actually, that person who has left the body is happy that another burden has gone from me. That's how he will think about it. So there is no necessity to be frightened about death. There's no necessity to be frightened about death. But then, what is the reason that we are frightened about death? That's the question, isn't it? If it is like that, and that Krishna calls it as bad durgunam. Durgunam means bad qualities that has gone inside. That is what is causing this fear of death. What is causing the fear of death? And those bad qualities, what it has done is, it has created this connection with the body. Sambandham. It connection with the body. And as long as you have that connection with the body, you will have the fear. You will have the fear and you will be frightened about the old age. You will be frightened about the old age. Already we are carrying a lot of different kinds of fear with us. If you look into Bhartrihari's Vairagya Shatakam, he mentions this there. What are all kinds of fear because of this body? He says, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. Bhoge Roga Bhayam. In other words, when you are enjoying, you are always fearful, will I get sick? Because of that, isn't it? Even with all respect to prasadam, you can only eat so much. Is it not? You know, even if you overeat prasadam, you will get sick. That is what it is. Bhoge Roga Bhayam. You may say that, oh, prasadam, what's the harm? After all, it's prasadam, you may eat all. But no, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. Bhartrihari says, Bhogam, it is once you start enjoying that prasadam, only up to a limit you can have it. If you take more than that, Roga Bhayam, you will become sick. That is one fear. Bhoge Roga Bhayam, Kule Chudi Bhayam. Kule Chudi Bhayam. Kule Chudi Bhayam means that some people, we will come to that later in these qualities what Krishna is going to talk about, that people have this fear that they come from a very aristocratic family or from a very respectable family, and therefore always the fear that will anything happen to my reputation or prestige or position in the society, things like that. That is Kule Chudi Bhayam. And that especially in the very rich families, and sometimes you will notice that in such families where they have a lot of prestige, Krishna will hit right at that spot in a way to break away that that reputation of them. So many things happens. You can observe yourself and you will see this happening all the time. Bhoge Roga Bhayam Kule Chudi Bhayam Vitenra Balal Bhayam. One who has got of money, who has got a lot of wealth, his whole fear, will I lose it? That will be his fear all the time. And Mane Dhainya Bhayam. And some people, they are very proud about their position in this world. Position means that they are very proud people. And they have Mane Dhainya Bhayam. Their fear is that, will anybody hit my reputation? Will anyway, it will affect my reputation. Balerip Bhayam Rube Jaraya Bhayam. Powerful person, one who is physically very strong, sometimes you can see those who are into body development people, if you look at them, they are always fearful, is the body going to lose its power one day, lose its strength, or its form, or its beauty, or its youth, is it going to go away? That fear will there be inside. Balerip Bhayam Rube Jarayal Bhayam. Then other concern is them is that their rubam, their youth, that will be taken away by old age, isn't it? Jara. Jara comes and takes it away. Will that fear is always there. Shastra Vadi Bhayam. Those who are very studied, knowledgeable of the Shastram, their fear is that will someone else come and defeat me in the Shastram? Who has studied well, and there are always one up, isn't it? Higher. So will they defeat me? Gune khalabhayam kaye kritanad bhayam. He says here that in body the fear of death is always present there, and gune khalabhayam kaye kritanad bhayam, that the fear of old age, scriptural addition, and the fear of opponents who will come against you, and in the in body the kaye kritandad bhayam. Kaye kritandad bhayam means, will this body drop away one day? Will body drop off one day? And Bhartrihari says, sarvam vastu bhayanvidam bhuvi nirnam. Sarvam vastu bhayanvidam. It is always a fearful existence. The only solution for that, he says, vairagyam eva abhayam. He says, vairagyam is the only solution to the problem. He says, vairagya means the same thing what Krishna is saying here, that when we get completely broken up attachment to this body, then the bhayam will go. Fear won't go till then. Fear won't go from us inside as long as this attachment to the body is there. You will see in the Bhagavatam, Kavi Maharshi says this, bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya vipariyo smriti. Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Why dvitiyam? Dvitiyam means that there is a second vastu, second object existing, which doesn't exist. But because we have accepted this dvitiya vastu, the body, existence of the body, ishad abedasya vipariyo smriti. Our smriti has shifted from Krishna to the body. Krishna means the soul. From the spiritual position, it has shifted to the body. And therefore, the fear has happened. Fear has happened. So, so here, that all this fear what we are experiencing, Krishna is saying here, that this has come from that the reason for that the bhogam, that means to enjoy life, is strongly in present in us, is present in us, enjoy to strongly is present in us. So Bhartrihari says here that generally nature in this society is, why not live comfortably, isn't it? We all know, and we say to others also, I'm okay, just comfortable. We'll say like that, isn't it? That's not a very good thing to say. We shouldn't be comfortable. If you are comfortable, it means Maya is very strong inside. That's right. People say like that, isn't it? Just comfortable. Not a lot, but I'm just comfortable, we say. This is that ignorance inside speaking. Inside there is ignorance, that's what it is. To say that you're comfortable itself is a wrong thing. You shouldn't be comfortable. That's what Bhartrihari is saying here. He says, and you can see also that world is also telling us enjoy life, isn't it? Enjoy life. So when you hear all these statements, you'll start thinking, oh, it should be like that, isn't it? Everybody tells you like that. Young man, you see, when he leaves the university and goes to college or something and starts his job, working, earning money, this will be his principle. Because all his friends are telling him, enjoy life. All his friends are telling him, you should be comfortable in life, you should earn a lot of money. All these false ideas are pumped into the head. For a long time, he carries this idea in his life. And then all these so-called friends all go away in their direction. They will all go one day. And your own body started giving trouble. Then you start thinking, oh, I was told that you have to enjoy life and you have to be always comfortable in life. But something is not allowing me to be comfortable here. I've worked very hard, 30, 40 years, worked, paid all taxes and pension, everything. And I'm not comfortable now. Body is giving a lot of trouble. Then only at that point he can start thinking in the right direction. Up to that time he is thinking while the other friends have told him. That very difficult to break through that ignorance. It's very, very hard. So, he says that, so, in a few years' time, when the body start giving trouble and some other problems comes in life, at that time you can see how things happen. Then you will know that there is problem everywhere. Problem in the brain, means in the mind there is problem. There is problem in the body, everything. And children also, they get sick. They are watching television and they get sick. And when you see all these things, you become fearful, isn't it? So really, you can see you become really fearful only after about 40, 45. Little bit, you become fearful of life. Till then you are feeling there is no necessity to be frightened about anything. But when your own situation is changing, you start seeing that all these misunderstanding I had in my life about this body and about my life in this world, there is a complete shake-up happens at that time in life. And you started recognizing that body is not permanent. And the so-called philosophy what was given to me, that body is meant for enjoyment, is also false. And also the other thing is that life is to enjoy. This philosophy is also wrong. All this realization start coming at that time. That's the time when it hits you. When it happens to all of us, it's the same, I suppose. It's happened to us, me, so it should be happening to you also, I suppose, like that. So, so this fear, Bhartrihari says this, is necessary. It should come in life. It helps. Otherwise, it is no use. It's no point in having a lot of do's and don'ts. Somebody, for example, people say, they say to you, that, these things you can do, these things you shouldn't do. This is our religion says like that. Giving such instruction is no use, because you will follow it blindly without getting any realization from life. But this practical realization in life, what happens in life, when you start getting sick, old age, and when the death is approaching, and all the other problems associated with life, when it starts coming, you start realizing that you have followed a false understanding of life throughout. That life is meant for enjoyment, and you should live very well. You should not be frightened about anything. All these foolish ideas was in the head in the beginning, and that one day it gets slowly wiped out. So that is why Krishna says here that everything you should look at, keeping this fear inside this body. Bhogavasana. Bhogavasana means that to sense enjoyment, desire for enjoying the senses. And what is the fear then? The fear is that I will get sick if I deviate from my disciplined life. That fear inside. So, similarly, a number of things what Bhartrihari has listed there, that you are born in a big aristocratic family, the family reputation is involved, or a person who is very beautiful, he is concerned about his beauty. And the greatest of all these things is that most attached thing is, no matter how old you become, and you still want to remain young. You still want to remain young. And keep on making arrangements for that. Keep on making arrangements for that. That is what he said, Jarayad Bhayam, fear about the old age. Fear about the old age. When you were young, you wanted to look in the mirror. Now you don't want to look into the mirror. Because when you see the form in the mirror, it's frightening. What has happened to the body, isn't it? So, fortunately, we can start putting the tilak without looking in the mirror by the old age. Because when you look, that's the only time when you look at the mirror, isn't it? Or while shaving or whatever. So, but you don't want to look at the mirror, how the body is going, isn't it? So, jarayat bhayam. So, similarly, look at the teeth, how that is going away, and the skin, how it is changing, and all these things. So, and similarly, vadi bhayam. In other words, he says, suppose a few people have spoken something bad about you, then you feel bad, isn't it? So, and if a few people are talking about something, you feel that, are they talking about me? That fear inside. So, so as long as this body is there, the fear is always there, and that finally the fear of death also. Kaye kritandad bhayam. So what Bhartrihari is saying there is, for a ajnani, one who is ignorant, he has all kinds of fear in this world. Not only the fear of death, but all other kinds of fear as well. So, the moment you become freed from the connection with this body, attachment to this body, or when he has realized that, or it has hit him that I am not this body, and that breaking the connection with the body has happened, or attachment to all other objects in this world has happened, then he comes to the stage of freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Abhayam vai janaka prapsosi. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Janaka, abhayam vai, it is in the Janaka's words to Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to Janaka in the Ashtavakra Gita. This statement comes. Janaka, you have reached that state of fearlessness, he says to him. Fearlessness. Yajnavalkya Maharshi says to him. And in other words, when we are not dependent on anything in this world, and when we have no connection with anything in this world, if a state happens like that inside, then when it gets separated from us, we will not feel any distress from that. That is the principle. If you are not attached to anything, suppose you have no attachment anywhere, and if you are not dependent on anything, these two things, suppose you are not dependent on anyone or anything in this world, or if you have no attachment anywhere, then if they get separated from you, you won't feel the distress. So, on the other hand, wherever we are sticking to anything in this world, wherever you are sticking to something in this world, that particular thing will create fear inside, will create fear inside. So, only thing you can do, keeping this principle in the background, we should live in this world fearlessly. If this principle is taken on board, and if you hold on to this principle, you can live in this world without fear. All the fear is coming from attachment. Attachment to either to persons, or to objects, or to various things like that, assets and things like that. So, wherever you have taken shelter of anything, or attachment anywhere, or if you have developed any kind of shelter anywhere, then you are meant to have the fear, and you will suffer from that. There is no question. So, only thing one can do is to keep this principle inside, that if I am attached somewhere, I can expect the problem from that, misery coming from that, it will happen. So, does not matter, it can be a vastu, an object, it can be a karma, action, particular work, or it could be attached to some principle even, ashayam, they say, some kind of philosophy you are attached to. Even there you can have this problem, So, wherever this attachment is there, you are sticking to something, that will cause you this problem of fear in life. So, and similarly, another object, if you have taken shelter, then that will create fear inside. If you have taken shelter of any object, a second separate from you, that means body is separate from me. I am not the body. It's a second object it is. So, if I take the shelter of this body, I can expect fear from the body. If I take shelter of the house, or the society, or the friends, I can expect fear from that. From that, fear will happen. So, that is why he said, this is something to be thought about very carefully. Kavi Maharshi says to King Nimi, Bhayam dyudiyal abhinivesha tasyal. If you understand the words properly, Bhayam means fear. Where is the fear coming from? Dvidiya vastu. Dvidiya means a second thing. Actually, there is no second thing. There is only one thing, the self. And the self is one. But now, today, we are thinking there is a second thing, me. I and from the me came. That me is based on the body, I am saying. Isn't it? My identity with the body is a secondary thing. In reality, for me, body doesn't exist. It shouldn't exist. That's what. Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means this sticking thing. You're sticking to it. Actually, there is no connection with the body and the self. But like a what do they call it? Blue tag, it is sticking to it. That's what it is. Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesatasyal ishad apedasya viparyayo smriti. I think that is the first verse in the Kavi Maharshi's teachings. You will see in the Bhagavatam. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishada vedasya viparyayo smriti. That attachment is viparyayo smriti. He says that is not the real smriti. You have lost your identity, forgotten who you are, and you got attached to the body. That's what has happened there. It's a very because it's the first verse in the Niminavayogi Samvadam, it carries the whole weight in that verse. You see, those verses are very potent where Nimi and Navayogi has spoken. Navayogi, Kavi Maharshi says to him, Bhayam didiyad abhinivesha tasyal ishad apedasya viparyayo smriti. He says, and it has happened due to viparyayo smriti. Ishad apedasya viparyayo smriti. Smriti has gone. The original smriti is I am spirit soul, consciousness. I lost that. And I got a viparita smriti. Viparita smriti, opposing idea of this body, identity has come to me. And this is the danger, Kavi Maharshi says there. You got that verse? Yeah. Give it to me, please. Yeah. Bhayam didiya abhinivesha tasyal ishadabedasya viparyayo smriti. Tan mayayatho buddham abhajetvam bhaktegayesham guru devatalmam. Bhayam didiyad abhinivesatasyal ishadabedasya viparyayo smriti. Tan mayayatho buddham abhajetvam bhaktegayesham guru devatalmam. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity turns away from the Supreme Lord, but he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord, this bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in devotional service under the guidance of spiritual master, whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. So, Bhakteka Yesham Guru Devadalma. So, Bhayam Didiyal, where did the fear come from? That is the first question. Why are we always fearful? Material existence means fear. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen to me? What will happen to the body? What will happen to the job? What will happen to the family? What will happen to my son? What will happen to my wife? What will happen to this? So many series of what will happen. Is it not? And we live in this fear all the time. And Kavi Maharshi is saying there, Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinivesha, you have, this started from the day you lost your self of the soul. You lost your identification with the soul. When you have lost it that day, this has happened. From that day onwards, this has happened. So, so from this you can understand, from these verses, that if you want to have that freedom from the fear, little by little, you have to get freedom from the body. That's the only way. If you want to completely escape from that fear, now, little by little, you should come out of the grip of the body. Because of the body, all this has happened, isn't it? Body is the cause of all this fear inside us. So, Krishna's point is, if you want to come out of this fear once for all, the only solution is, little by little, you have to become free from the body. So, how will you free from the body yourself? That is the first question. And Krishna says here, if certain qualities develops in you, if you develop certain qualities in you, which is actually causing this connection with the body and us, if these qualities are cultivated, that connection between the self, our real identity and the body, which is in the Shastram, they call it as Chijada Granthi. That word is used in the Malsyavataram. in the fish incarnation, when there was a discussion between the fish and the king, that relation, Matsyavadaram, the story in the 8th canto, I think it's then, 24th chapter. So there, that Chijadagrandhi word is used. Chijadagrandhi means this, that this connection with me and the body. That body, it will start, that connection will start getting loosened. It will start getting loosened. And you will see there at that time, that the in our heart, not the mechanical heart we are talking about, in our heart, there is that presence of that Granthi inside. And Krishna says here that that Granthi has to break up, has to break up. And it is that Granthi, Chijada Granthi, is the one which is creating this ahangaram or false ego inside, and which continuously gives strength to my personality, vyaktitvam or personality, and make that personality very, very strong. It's not a good thing to become a big personality. Personality is the whole problem. Personality itself, because as soon as this personality started going away, this ego will also start melting inside, and the result will be that that will help to free yourself from the body. Otherwise, there is no possibility. So, what qualities are required? That's what Krishna is going to talk about. And in order to escape from the Kshetram and get closer to the Kshetrajnyan, that's what, what we are discussing now, isn't it? Kshetram, Kshetrajnyan. So, how to free yourself from the Kshetram and get closer to Kshetrajnyan, what qualifications, what qualities are necessary? And that is what Krishna is talking about from now on. It is for this reason only. You know, that how sad it is that in the modern world, we keep talking about this personality big, isn't it? Without knowing how much damage we are doing to ourselves. When you become too strong-minded and too strong on your own personality, your spiritual life is stuck there. It can't go further. It can't go further. That is the first block, this personality. Personality itself is the first block. That's why really advanced people in spiritual life, they don't develop their spiritual life centered around personalities. For this reason. Because personality is an artificial thing. That's not our real identity. Somehow or the other, this ignorance in us, we say sometimes, it happens all the time, that we build up some personality and started puffing up his ego also. And centered around him, there will be a few other people also, who with also big egos, centered around this bigger ego. So this way, and others who come and see, they think this is the way to go. Instead of, whereas if you see very cultured spiritual personalities, there will be absolutely no personality there. It is all completely freedom from the ego. Freedom from the ego. And that is a very sweet relationship there. Many, many great souls were like that. That in their association you will feel comfort, shanti inside. Whereas if you are with all these big egos, you are always in tension and stress there. It's always happens like that. That you don't know what they will do to fulfill their ego. Next thing, what they are going to do for you. So you may say association, but if this is the association you are getting from these egos, what is going to happen? So that is why from now on, Krishna is saying here that the first thing you can see out of all these 26 or so qualities Krishna has mentioned there, the first one is this personality thing. He has touched, Krishna has taken the personality as the first topic. And that's why he called it Amanitam. Amanitam, he says. First verse, if you look, Amanitam Adambitam Ahimsa Chandi Arjavam Acharyopasanam Shaujam Stairyam Alpa Vinigraham, he says. In that, the first one is Amanitam. Amanitam is the whole principle. Amanitam. Amanitam, you have to understand what this Amanitam Adambitam. The translation is Amanitam Adambitam Ahimsa Chandi Arjavam. Says that the yeah, sorry. Amanitvam, translation is humility, isn't it? Humility, humility. And adambitvam is pridelessness. So how will you understand the difference between amanitvam and adambitvam? That's a little difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to know. Humility means pridelessness, isn't it? So why Krishna put it two words like that, amanitvam and adambitvam? There must be a reason, otherwise he wouldn't use the words freely like that, isn't it? So amanitvam, adambitvam. So this amanitvam is the first thing. Amanitvam means, proper understanding is, it's not just humility. Of course, in English that's the way it's put, you can't do anything about it. Amanitvam means assumed personality. You are not that, but all of us are moving in this world like that, on an assumed personality. That means, I am something, I am somebody, I have no identification with the self, but I have all identification with everything else in this world. So that is why it is called amanitvam. Amanitvam, that is. Amanitvam is that, assumed personality. Krishna says here, manam, that's a word. Manam means this assumed personality. That means, in our imagination, we have some personality impression about us. In our imagination it is, isn't it? And that is what's called manam. Manam means that. In my imagination, I have developed some personality in me. I consider that. That is amanitvam. You will see, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shikshashtakam, Trinarabhi Shunijena Tarorabhi Sahishnuna. He says, amanina manadena. So you can see there also, amanitvam is the biggest problem. This amanitvam. Amanitvam is like that, an assumed personality. I am not that, but in my mind, I have created a personality of my own, and I am thinking I am that. Every one of us, we do it in a different way, isn't it? So, that is what it is called, manam. And if you touch me on that point, I will get hurt. Every one of us, it's like that. That, it's an assumed personality, it's an artificial thing, it's not real. But I have identified myself with that, and if you hit me there, I will get hurt. So that is why, and in everyone it is like that, and if I say something in that assumed relationship with that assumed personality something, it will hurt you also. Because of this manam inside. So Krishna is saying here, amanitvam adambitvam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amanina manadena. Vishnu Sahasranamam says about Krishna. If you look at Vishnu Sahasranamam, there Krishna is addressed like this. Amani manado manya. Logaswami trilogadrik. There is the names of Krishna. Amani manado manyaha. That is Krishna. That means, Krishna has no pride. This amanitum is in him. He has no manam. Krishna doesn't have any manam like we have. Krishna doesn't have any manam. Therefore it says, amani manado manyaha. He has no manam, therefore he is amani. At the same time, he also knows how to give manam to others. He respects the manam of others. Manado manyaha. Logaswami trilogadrik. In one incident this happened. When Mahabharata war was going on, Bhishma was fighting against Arjuna, isn't it? Bhishma was fighting against Arjuna. Krishna has taken the vow that he will not take the weapon. And Bhishma tried very hard to get Krishna to take the weapon, isn't it? Up to last point, Krishna waited, didn't do anything. And not only that, Bhishma's arrows were shot on Krishna's body, and the blood started coming from Krishna's body. And Krishna's body, because of driving the chariot through the dust and everything, and through the sweat and the dust, all the face was completely looking very reddish colored, everything. And plus the blood was coming from the body. So all these things were happening, and Krishna didn't take the weapon still to kill Bhishma. So Bhishma taken the vow that he will force Krishna to take the weapon, isn't it? And at one point, when the Bhishma became very powerful and he knew that Arjuna is going to collapse, he is not going to fight with Bhishma. Arjuna couldn't fight with Bhishma. Nobody could fight with Bhishma. Parashurama could not fight with Bhishma. What to talk about Arjuna? So when he realized that, Krishna jumped out and he said that I'm going to finish this old man now, he said, and jumped out of the chariot with the disc in the hand. So Bhishma laughed at that, seeing Krishna's jumping from the chariot in that way, and says to that you are a fantastic personality, says to Krishna. You didn't take the weapon for keeping your word, instead to protect my word, that you honor my personality. Honor my word, that means personality, means you honoring your word, that you have taken the weapon. It is in that connection that Amani, Manado, Manya, in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, in the Thousand Names, in the Mahabharatam, Bhishma talks about Krishna in this way. Amani manado manyaha. So amanitam, that means just to honor Krishna's nature is like that. Krishna is not bothered about his own reputation, but my devotee's reputation, Bhishma's reputation should hold good. This is Krishna's position. So in order to make Bhishma's words come true, Krishna has taken the disc and jumped out. Otherwise, even without taking the disc, he could have finished up Bhishma. It's not a problem. But he still did that just to honor Bhishma's position. To kill Bhishma, even without disc, Krishna could do that. It doesn't need. But why he took the disc? Just to hold that promise, that words come true, what Bhishma has committed, that I'll make Krishna to take the weapon. So to satisfy Bhishma's words and to honor those words, Krishna took the weapon. So it is in that connection he said, Amani manado manya. Loka Swami, Talokadrak, he says there. So here, the thing is that, so manam is such a thing, that manam is in so many places, our manam, this personality what we have created. Varnam, your varnashram dharmam, whichever varnam, whichever ashramam we have, caste or the work what you do, or the money you have got, or your beauty what you have got, or your education what you have, or the family you are born, or the race you are born, country you are born, all these are cause of this manam. So first we have to free from all of these things. That's what Krishna is saying here. Amanitam. Amanitam means freedom from all these things. But the problem is, there's no harm in all these things, and without being involved in one of these things, you can't live in this world. Is it not? Naturally, with the body, you have some identity somewhere. You're born somewhere or from family somewhere like that. And so there will be manam in some of these things. Everyone will have that. So all this manam, when it comes together, that is from ahankaram builds up. Ahankaram comes from that. Ahankaram comes from that. So once this manam goes away, shanti will come inside. Shanti will comes inside. So, so jiva, a conditioned soul, he suffers from this manam. He is having this manam. And the manam is giving him a lot of trouble inside because of this manam. A lot of problems also. And so therefore, the prayer always is that clear up this manam from inside. Great, great devotees, jnanis, they pray to Krishna this way. Please take away this manam from inside. And once this ego has gone, ahankaram has gone from inside, then you are free. Then there is no problem all that. So it so happened that one disciple used to stay with this spiritual master for a long period of time, studying from him, hearing from him and all that. He was his disciple. He spent a lot of time with him. Finally, one day he asked him that, when will I get liberated? He says to the Guru. Guru says, when I die, you will get liberated, he said. What was his answer? Now, when he said, when I die, you will get liberated, he said. So the disciple said, that means I have to wait till you die. That was his answer. So after that, the disciple went away. He said, let us wait till he die. And the disciple went away. And after many days, that disciple came back again to check whether the Guru is dead or not. So he asked him, what has happened to you? Why have you come back, he said. So he says to him, I don't think I'll get liberated in this life because you look very healthy, says to the Guru. Says the Guru, you look very healthy. So when will I get liberated? Guru says to him, when I say that when I die you will get liberated, it's not me I am talking about. This ego inside you, I, when that ego dies, you will get liberated. So it took a while for him to get that message through. Yeah. When that ego, personality dies, then you will get liberated. That's what he said. So he told the truth. But the disciple took it in the wrong way, thinking that he has to wait till the man dies. Most of the disciples are like that in this world, waiting for the guru to go, so that they can get established then after that, isn't it? So so that is the point here. So he says here, this ahankaram inside, I am, and when it completely goes away from inside, Chandravat vimala purnaha sadananda swayam prabha ahankara grahat muktaha. Ahankara graham. Ahankaram is like a Rahu planet which holds us. And when that ahankaram goes away, like a planet, when you get released from the bad influence of a powerful planet like Saturn, how you feel? Similarly, this ahankaram is holding us so strongly. When it happens like that, that like a full moon, you will feel that comfort inside when the ahankaram has escaped. So basically, Krishna is saying here, get rid of that ahankaram from inside. When the ahankaram goes away, you are liberated. Practically, that is what Krishna is saying. So this ahankaram, sometimes we say about somebody, oh, he's very proud or he is very egoistic. We say like that. It is not in that sense Krishna is saying here, this ahankaram here. Everybody is ahankari in this world. In fact, it is only because of ahankaram this body is there. This body is there. The knot, attachment inside, that itself is ahankaram, isn't it? Aham kriti grantha nibandham sushma sharira chedo bhava jivanaha. So this this ahankaram inside, another word used is that chijada granthi. Chijada granthi. So ahankara grantha nibandham sushma shariram chedo bhava jivanashaha. So that ahankaram inside us, it is turns into aham kriti. Aham kriti. Aham kriti means, for example, inside we have aham bodham, isn't it? Awareness of I am. And we also have ahankaram. Ahamkaram and aham bodham. Two things exist inside us. Aham bodham is good, because that is pure consciousness. Ahamkaram is this false personality what we have created inside us. So when that ahamkaram goes away, it will become ahambodham. That is when it shifts from ahamkaram to ahambodham. Ahambodham is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness that I am not this body, I am pure spirit soul. That is pure consciousness. That's good. That is our real state. But instead what we have now is ahamkaram. Ahamkaram is this identification with the body. So the process is that when the inquiry begins where this ahankaram has come, and eventually this ahankaram goes and dissolves in ahambodham. Ahankaram goes and dissolves in the ahambodham, and that when it dissolves in there, if it does not dissolve there, it will become ahamkriti. Ahamkriti means it will give us a lot of trouble. This ahamkaram, if it goes and dissolves in its place where it came from, that means it came from the chit shakti, isn't it? Like the mind, all the subtle body when it came, ahankaram also came like that. And that ahankaram, if it remains like that, if it gets stronger, means your personality will become very strong. Personality will become very strong. But if you manage to dilute that personality and make it nothing, freedom from the ego totally, if that happens, this ahankaram will become ahambodham. Will become ahambodham. That is a way of breaking up from the body. That's a way of breaking up from the body. So this can happen in two different ways. One through bhakti, other through jnanam. Bhakti process is continuously surrendered to Krishna. I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing. constantly surrendering to Krishna, and you are everything, giving all the credit to Krishna. Krishna is doing everything, it's happening through this body. In that way, surrendering to Krishna, that is one process. The other process, knowing very well through the Shastram that this assumed personality is false, body is false, senses are all false, mind is a false thing, and through knowledge, freeing yourself from the grip of the body. So, aham kriti, it says here that aham kriti, that will give us a lot of pain. They give the example, boktrgale kantakavad pratitam. In other words, that suppose you are eating something and it gone and stuck in the throat. Sometimes certain things can happen, isn't it? It can go and stuck in the throat. Similarly, this can give you trouble. Which one? This ahamkriti. Ahamkriti. So, our whole life, the center is this ahankaram or ahankriti. That is where everything, remember, we discussed before, that all our Ichcha, Krishna says there, isn't it? Ichcha, Dvesham, Sukham, Dukham, Savigaram, Udahridam, Krishna says. And then it is centered around this Ahangaram. Depending how strong this Ahangaram inside, your happiness and distress in this world also. Some object in this world is giving you some happiness. Something else is giving you some distress. The degree of happiness and distress not depends on the object, it depends on your ahangaram inside. If your ahangaram is very strong, then your pain will be very strong. Sometimes you can see people who are very proud, when they are criticized, they get very hurt, isn't it? For an average person, you can say anything, he doesn't care, he says, what is it? After all, what does it matter? What can I do? I mean, I can't do anything about it, people are saying like this, so you don't get hurt. But people who think they are very important in this world and who have got that strong ahangaram inside, for them reputation matters. Some other people are talking bad about me. So they will make sure that they will find some ways to clear their name. They say they have to clear their name. Or for us, we don't have to clear our name from anything because there's nothing there to clear. But for those who have got that ego strongly inside, they are very touched by their name, isn't it? And this you will see in many people, even in spiritual field, you will see this happening with people. That they give a lot of importance to their name. I am a devotee, I am some important devotee. I am a guru, I am a sage, or I am a sannyasi, or whatever it is. And I don't want my bad reputation come. So therefore, this is the whole problem, that the center is that ahankaram inside, and it creates all the distress also. So, and it is exactly the same problem which causes problem in the family life also. Family life also, it comes from there. So, and it is exactly the same problem which causes in all spiritual organizations also. It's the same ahankaram. In family life, in spiritual organizations, everywhere, it is the one, in reality, he is the one who runs this world. This thing called ahankaram. So, and all the politics, who is doing that? He does that. Ahankaram does that, isn't it? So, everything in this world, including the whole world, all countries, organizations, president, he is actually the president of everything, this ahankaram. Ahankaram is the president of all the whole world. He is the actual president of the whole thing. And if he is not there, this world won't be like this. World won't be able to function like that. That is what manam. So, somewhere, we will create some manam and we will stick to that. This is how it happens. Somewhere we'll create some manam. And Krishna is saying amanitum, isn't it? So manam can come in so many different ways. For example, manam, somebody will have manam because he's holding a big position in the world, in a big company or big executive or something, or a big businessman. Or in political field, you will see like big ministers, MPs, all that. They have manam in there, isn't it? They have that, I am an MP, or I am a prime minister, or I am a this, or I am that, whatever it is, president, whatever it is. So that is all manam. Then in a different level, football players, I am a big player. That manam will be there. Even they also have manam. All the celebrities, they have their manam to cover up. And in average life, in everywhere, this thing called manam is there. And it may be in a subtle level operating in everyone. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that you will find something to stick to, and that is very powerful. If you don't have anything, you will get hold of a flag, something, Indian flag, Pakistan flag, or Chinese flag, or European flag, American flag, some flag you need, because this manami is inside. If I don't have a flag, I can't show it to the world that I got a flag with me. So if you don't have anything else, you get hold of one flag and start identifying with that. So you can see this, that how this flag is causing, this is all coming from the manam. Where is this flag coming from otherwise? The whole, we have something like 200, 300 flags now all over the world, isn't it? And everybody has an identification with one flag or the other. You will see previously India and Pakistan didn't have separate flags. 1948 we got two flags now. Previously we had only one flag or something. There was no flag even. And then the two flags came. And now every state is claiming we should have a flag, they are saying. Like that. America also, they have different flags for all states, I think. Apart from their own whole flag. So like this, it is going on in this world. So our flag is also on this principle. So and because you have recognized it as your manam, it has become valuable. And when somebody burns your flag, you get upset. Oh yes, burned our flag, you say. He has only burned a piece of cloth, but I get upset about it, isn't it? You think about that. That how you get hurt by that. Why? It's an artificial thing inside. That he has burned a piece of cloth. He knows where to hurt you. So he has burned the flag for you. So because you fall into the trap that you get hurt by the flag. So prior to this, I recognized this as my flag. If somebody has shown me a piece of cloth like this and says to me, I said, you can burn whatever you like, it doesn't bother to me, it doesn't disturb me. But now, as soon as I've recognized that it is my flag, then the problem started, isn't it? Then the problem started. So, so only due to recognition it happens, not by any other reason. In other words, when your manam has come to that, you have become identified. The moment that identification started, you got into trouble. So, and if you say something, you get upset. And same thing, and you get angry about that. Same thing if I say something to anyone about his family, or about his caste, or about his place of birth, or about his job, and so many things. We all have manam in that. And if you say anything, if it touches there, you will get hurt. You will get hurt, isn't it? So that manam is in a very subtle level in everyone, isn't it? So suppose in India, of course, there is this caste very strong, isn't it? So if you say, we'll say, oh, he's after all, he belongs to that caste. What do you expect? He'll say like that. They'll make a sly remark like that. That's enough. It blows the whole thing. Then immediately there is there is trouble. After that, it begins from there, isn't it? So there is no medicine for all these things. All you can see, because the medicine, you have to give it inside and start the treatment. So that's so many examples. Only when you look at persons who have gone beyond than this, then you will see their behavior. If you look how they act in this world, then you know what is spiritual life means. From there you get the idea. Otherwise you won't know. Ordinary people, if you mix with people, you won't know that. But when you get to know someone who has very spiritually, very realized state, they will know. So, they say that one great Mahatma used to say like this. He said, this manam is like a plant. Some plants, if you cut the branches, prune them, it will grow better, isn't it? Similarly, the manam is like that. If you keep pruning it, it will keep growing better. So that's the problem with that, he says. So that is the reason that, try to understand, this is very important. Rishis, they never believed in reformation. Do you know that? Sages, they never believed in reformation. You know that there's so many reform movements come, one after the other in this world, is it not? You know, reformation, so many big personalities, they want to change the society. They want to change the society. Rishis never believed in that. They never believed that we should change the society. Because as far as they are concerned, society doesn't exist. only individuals exist. Now, when you say this, recently this was a big complaint against Mrs. Thatcher, wasn't it? She never believed in the society. But Rishi saying and Mrs. Thatcher saying is two different things. You should not get mixed up with that. A lot of people, one person asked me that. He said, you say like this, she's also saying. I said, you're two different things, don't mix up these things. What she is saying is completely from a materialistic level. What Rishis are saying to us is that spiritual life is a personal thing, individual thing that is. Don't make it a society-like thing. It won't work. It's simply not possible. Because this change has to happen within. Each individual, it has to happen. And that is where you have to find out the truth, inside you, not outside. Not the truth is not outside. So if you change one rule and bring another rule, it will all remain the same. Nothing will, by rules it won't change. If you change inside the person, that is the point Krishna is making here, that these qualities what Krishna has spoken, if it happens inside, then you will escape. But suppose I joined an institution, and that institution is saying, these are the qualities what we follow. You will see that nobody is following them, it will be only in the paper. Nothing will happen. And the very same people who are sprinting and distributing and and others to follow, but it's all for others, not for them. This is what will happen. This will always, you will see. That is why Rishis never believed in this. Rishis, sages, all the Rishis, none of them have acted in that way. All of them believed that reformation is not possible. You have to change yourself. By institutionalizing, organizing, you can't change a person. You can't do that. The person himself has to know what is the right thing and do it himself, because change has to happen inside you, not in the institution. Institution can pass many resolutions. Institution can present many papers to everybody, preach to others, print the books, distribute everything, and tell others to follow. But if the person himself, nothing will happen. He will remain exactly the same. What is the benefit? That's why Rishis never believed in reformation. They never believed in reformation. Whereas if you study history books, you will see throughout the world at different times, people wanted to reform. Isn't it? Wanted to reform. So many great personalities come, they came and tried to reform. And only thing is, he tried and he gone. And things are exactly the same what it was before. So from here, that making rules is not the answer to the problem. So that you will see, even who have tried to reform, or those who have tried to show that they are changing, all you have to do is to scratch a little bit, the old personality will come out from inside. Nothing will change. So the rules are for individuals, that and individuals have to find out the truth themselves. Individual person has to find himself the truth. If they don't do it on their own, then what will happen is, all these things like manam, abhimanam, krodham, anger, dvesham, none of them will go away from the society. Society will still have that. If individuals have not changed, the society will remain exactly the same. Exactly the same it will remain. Nothing will change. Only if individuals have changed, then there will be some effect on the society. This is the reason Rishi says, you don't have to change the whole world. A few people, if they change, that is itself, it's what you can expect here. Whereas if you think that the whole world is going to become Krishna conscious, or if you think the whole world is going to turn out better, it's not going to happen. They never gave that false idea. They told us, the Rishi's words are Rishi Proktam. Vedam is Rishi Proktam. Rishis are saying to us, that if you as an individual take this Shastram properly, study it, realize the truth, then that is the benefit for the world. But don't expect that the whole world is going to change you, because every individual is different, he has to take it. So the individual himself has to find out, he himself has to go deep down inside himself. And when he goes there, he can see one thing, he will notice himself about his own, that imaginary personality, what he has got. He will see that himself. He will see that himself. And that imaginary personality, what he is seeing about himself, that is what is called Jiva. Jiva is that Ahangaram or Jiva. And that is the cause of next life. That is the cause of the next life. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, as you know very well, Alma na jayate na mriyate va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajaha nityaha shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire. So Alma has no rebirth, Jiva has the rebirth. Jiva is a false ego. When the false ego destroyed, Jiva finishes there. And then there is no more rebirth. That is the principle. So, because it is this Jiva, is an imaginary personality. It's not real. It's an imaginary personality. And you don't have to destroy it in the sense that it is only an imaginary thing. Isn't it? It's an only imagination you have created that. So, knowing very well that it is an imaginary thing, if you live in this world, it won't disturb you. If you know that, that it is an imaginary thing, there is nothing to get destroyed as such. What it is that due to these bad qualities, what we have, this imaginary personality has built up inside. So, with the help of these qualities, what Krishna is talking about, if they build up inside qualities, that imaginary personality on its own will die. In a natural way, it will have its death. You don't have to kill it on your own. It will die on its own. So this when this goes away, so when it doesn't get destroyed, all these conflicts builds up inside. Conflicts that you're fighting with it. You're fighting with this thing, and it is keeping this imaginary personality. You have got this thing called manam. And Krishna is saying to us, amanitvam. That is the manam Krishna wants us to kill. Kill means, by these qualities, Krishna says, that manam, with this abhimanam will go, that imaginary personality will die on its own. On its own. So, those who do not have great sadhus, yogis, jnanis, devotees, all of them who don't have that manam, they are called amanis. They are called amanis. One example, a great mahalma, very great mahalma, a wealthy person came up to him and invited him for prasadam at home, bhiksha. Mahalmas were invited for the bhiksha. So he told him that I will bring the car to take you home for prasadam and everything. He said, no, I'll come walking. I can come, I'll arrange myself, I'll get there, he said. And the rich man went home. When he went to his house was well protected with guards guarding the house, dogs, everything. You know how the rich people live, isn't it? They got dogs and guard dogs and guardsmen at the gate, everything. Though this sadhu came, Mahatma came for his, he was invited, so he came there. So the man was waiting outside, the guardsmen were waiting outside. So when he got inside, when he came there, he told him that when he saw this Swami who came, the man at the gate didn't feel that why this man has come here, and told him to go. So he went home. He didn't say anything. He just went home. He went back. Swami didn't have his bhiksha there. The rich man waited in his house. And again he went back to the Swami and to this Mahatma and told him that, I have called you yesterday, you didn't come. In them days, there was no mobile phone or anything, no phone system. You have to remember, personally people had to go and invite others, which are much nicer system than 2 days. So he invited him again. So he told him that yesterday I called you, you didn't come. He said, no, I'll come today, he said. Today I'll come, he said. He didn't say what happened yesterday. So next day also he went there And this watchman told him, "Did I not tell you yesterday not to come here again?" He said, and send him away from there. He went away. So another 4 days have gone like this, and they could not understand what went wrong, who the wealthy man who invited him. And then he came to know what has happened. He inquired about it. He said, "Somebody came, I sent him away," this watchman said. So he goes to him and says to him, that to this sannyasi or mahatma, he says to him, apologizing to him, and brought him with him, and he came. And he came with him. Came with him, and he had his prasadam at some time. And he acted as though nothing has happened. Didn't say even one word about it, what has happened. And he went back. This is called amanito. Amanito means that he was not hurt by anything. Because he never thought himself he is important. Able to think like that when you are hurt, that is amanito. This is an example of that, amanito. And if this one is able to do it, he is escaped. He has escaped from here. So that imaginary personality is, if it is not there, because it's only an imaginary personality. Suppose somebody has invited you, and you went there, and you were sent away. You will not so go there again, would you? You will say, and twice this has happened, and that Mahatma never felt hurt. He went and had the prasadam. This nature in a person, that relaxed nature, never getting disturbed or hurt by that, that is called amanitum. That's the only way you have to understand this amanitum. Because amanitum and adambitum are two different things. Unless you see that on an emotional level, how it hurts people. So, one who has no manam, that means that jivatum has gone from him. He's not thinking anymore as a jiva. The yajamanan would not have been able to do that. He won't be able to do that. But the mahatma was able to do that. So, Atmanti Pujyatvat Abhimanaha. So, I am worshipable. If that bhavam, that mood is not there, then then you have escaped. Then you have escaped. You know, in Sanskrit, they'll say, Parama Pujaniya. You heard that word? Parama Pujaniya Swamiji. Why does they say like that? Because you know what Pujyam means, isn't it? Pujyam means zero. Zero means that he has no ego. It is from that Parama Pujaniya word has come. Parama Pujaniya, we say like that, isn't it? Very great sannyasis, mahatmas, we say Parama Pujaniya. So many things like that. So if you have this imaginary personality, then you will get hurt. You will get hurt. So that is why among the sannyasis, normally going for bhiksha, for this reason only, to keep this amanitam very strong in them. In the traditionally, sannyasis won't go and eat in rich people's houses like that. This is all modern things, what's happening now, that they go to the rich man's house and eat them there with their food. And this is a completely wrong concept. They prefer to keep that identity of their own, and they will rather go to the poor person's house and beg for the food. All mahatmas have done that. And that way, that amanitam will remain. If you are feeling that it is building up inside, the easiest way to go and beg from someone. So that will help. So sannyasis are doing for... sannyasis treat this begging for the food as a treatment for the ahangaram or the false ego. So when you go there, some people will abuse you, some people will abuse you, and some people may give you respect when you go for begging food, isn't it? So some people will say you are a mahatma. That also people, so depends on the family whom you are going to for the food. But although different reactions will come from the society, someone will glorify you, some will say treat you properly, somebody will completely ignore you or give you insulting words. But in the middle of both, you have to remain in that state, unaffected by that, without manam. That is what helps that amanitum, Krishna is saying here. So in other words, But the problem is, in the normal vyavaharam, in this life, in this world, without manam you can't live, isn't it? Without manam you can't live, because then everybody will walk over you. That's also there. That also you can't ignore that. So it is not possible. But when you come to spiritual life, if you want shanti inside, manam must go. So you have to know where to keep it and where to throw it away. It's a very difficult thing. In vyavaharam, you need, people always have this difficulty, isn't it? In vyavaharam, in life in this world, you need this manam, because that's how you can do the transaction in this world. Suppose you are very respectful to everybody, and then everyone will walk over you. There's nothing you can do about it. Therefore, in vyavaharam you need it. But inside, in spiritual life, you have to throw it away. It is not of any use. So, in order that, in order to have that shanti inside, in the vyavaharam, in spiritual life, you need this, manam has to go. So, one process is that directly, direct process. That means to ask the question, who has got this manam? Who has got it? So, who is feeling proud about this? Who is feeling proud inside? And always being alert about that inside, in daily, every moment. When you are dealing with people, always conscious inside that who is experiencing the pride. If you are feeling the pride any moment, to think that who is experiencing the pride. And give Shraddha attention there and not allow that manam to build up. So, if it is manam is inside, who has the manam? Who has the manam? Is the body got any manam? Body cannot have the manam. Because I am not this body. Suppose somebody speaks to you in a rude way, insulting way or something, that is the right time to catch this manam. You have to ask the question, who is he insulting? He is insulting my body, isn't it? He is insulting my body. He only knows my body, he doesn't know me. He knows my body. So when he speaks something like that in an offensive way or a insulting way, you have to know that he is insulting your body. He is insulting your body. He cannot insult you because he doesn't know you. How can he insult you then? So with this understanding, if you deal with situation, you will escape from the manam. Now, generally sometimes we say, we have to be humble, and we have, that doesn't work. If you understand this principle behind it, that means principle is this, nobody can insult you. That is the truth. How can they insult you? Because they don't know you. They only know your body, isn't it? So when they are speaking to you in a rude way or insulting way, if you know not to get hurt, knowing with this knowledge that he is speaking about my body and not me, it's about my body he's talking about, then you will escape from this problem. Otherwise, what will happen? Suppose you are identifying with the body as bad as that person, then you are no better than him, isn't it? That's, you have actually lost the whole thing. So that is why Krishna says here, this amanitvam, when you build up this, there are many examples of this in the among the great jnanis and the devotees who have followed this process very well. They had to go through very, very hard times in this. And when you, Krishna, you know, in the Bhagavatam, that Bhikshu Gita is a perfect example of this. What happened? After Krishna has spoken about all Ekadasha Skandam, the beauty of Ekadasham, knowledge, everything, Uddhava says to Krishna, it's a very difficult thing, Krishna says to Krishna. It's very, very difficult. Krishna says to Uddhava, I can only tell you one thing. There are people who have done it and made it happen in this world. I can only say that to you. It is possible. And he gives the example there in the Bhagavatam. If you look into that Bhikshu Gita, final verses, he says there that Bhikshu Gita is the most useful chapter in the Bhagavatam to cultivate amanitvam. If you want to learn that. This rich businessman who came from Avanti Brahmana story there. That is the chapter is 23, is it? Yeah. 23, okay. Yeah, 23, yeah. So, if you look into the 22nd chapter, instead of 22, the last few verses, where this discussion happened between Krishna and Uddhava, there's all this talk about the that Krishna spoke all high philosophy before that, isn't it? Hearing all that, he says to him that it is not possible to develop the way what you have spoken, says Uddhava to Krishna. It is not possible. For me, it is not possible, he says to him. So, at that time, he says here, Artehi avidyamanebi samsadir na nivartade Dhyayado Vishayanasya Sopne Anarthagamo Yatha. This verse comes in the third canto also. That Tasmad Uddhavamam Bhunktva Vishayan Asadindriyaihi Atma Grahanam Nurbhadam Pashya Vaigalpiyam Brahmam. It is about three verses before the end. The last verse, one verse, is Uddhava's verse. Uddhava spoke the last verse, isn't it? Verse 20, chapter 22. The last verse Uddhava has spoken. But prior to that, Krishna has told Uddhava two or three verses. He says to him, Arthe savidyamanebi yatha manoratadiyo vishayanubhavo mrusha svapna drashtascha dasharha tatha samsara malpana. Then Artehya Vidyamanebi Samsaradarna Nivartade Dhyayado Vishayanasya Sotne Anarthagamoyada Tasmad Uddhavamam Bhunkshva Vishayan Asadindriyai Atma Grahana Nirbhadam Pashya Vaigalpigam Brahmam Kshipto Avamanido Saddhi Pralamdhyo Asuido Thava Tadida Sannidvaddhova Kvrityava Parihapidaha. Krishna is saying here, Nishtido Mutrido Vatnir Bahur Devam Pragarpya Shayas Kama Krichkrichagat Altman Altmana Mudharet. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, first of all, Artehi Avidyamanebi Samsradana Nivartade. Artehi Avidyamanebi Samsra Dhyayado Vishyanasa Sapnya Narthagamo Yeda. This verse is repeated in Bhagavatam about half a dozen times. This one verse. Artehi Avidyamanebi. That shows the importance of that verse. That just like you are in a dream state and you have all bad dreams. You are thrown from the cliff, elephant has come to hit you, or tiger has come to eat you, or some powerful snake has come to bite you, whatever it is. Or somebody shot you with a gun, whatever it is. So all these experiences you had in the dream. As soon as you come out of the dream, what happens? The problem is gone. Problem is solved, isn't it? So by waking up the dream, you got out of the problem. Waking up the dream, you got out of the problem. Krishna is saying here that Dhyayado Vishayanasya Sopne Anarthagamo Yada. But so long as you are in the dream state, it is real for you. Is it not? You are suffering from that. But when you come out of that dream state, you have escaped from the problem. That's the only way you can escape from the problem. Somebody came and woke you up and says, why are you crying about? What are you frightened about? That it's only a dream. And then you came to your senses, you came out of the dream world and you escaped from that. Krishna is saying here, Dhyayado Vishayanasya Sotne Anarthagamo Yata. Similarly, while engaging in the sense gratification in this world, when the senses are enjoyed, you will experience the sense enjoyment is going on, and the distress of that sense enjoyment will also be there. while in the world of senses. Krishna's point is, Artehi avidyamanebi samsrutirna nivartate. Sense enjoyment problem is, when you are enjoying the senses in this world, the misery of sense enjoyment is there along with that, in that state. But suppose the ignorance has gone away from inside, avidya has gone. And once the avidya has gone, artehi avidyamanobi. Avidya gone means samsaram gone. That's the point. That is what he is saying there. Artehi avidyamanebi samsrutirna nivartade. That means, as long as you have avidya inside, you will have material existence. Even if you stop all sense gratification, if you are in the material existence, still, because of avidya, you will suffer. You see? So, till avidya goes away, you have no freedom. Suppose you have stopped sense gratification, still, you will suffer in this world because avidya has not gone from inside. How will you suffer? For example, let's give the example. Suppose sense gratification is stopped. You have become very austere and controlled in your living. Still, you will have the misery inside. Oh, I did not have that sense gratification. That will come out in a different way. So, Krishna's point is, Artehi avidyamanobi samsrutir na nivartate. Till you free yourself from avidya, you don't get free from material existence. Similarly, exactly like Krishna says, till you free yourself from the dream state, you won't get freed from your dream problems. Problems in the dream, you don't get freed from that till you get released from the dream. Similarly, till you get released from avidya, you don't get released from the problems related to avidya, which means material existence. That is to strengthen the point that how powerful avidya is. Avidya is what is making us frightened about things. Avidya is what's making frightened about old age, disease, death, everything. All fear comes from avidya, isn't it? As we saw before. Bhayam didiyal, abhinivesha tasyal. So, avidya's position is Krishna saying like that. And then he says to Uddhava, after saying these words, he says to him, Tasmad Uddhava, mam bhungshva vishayan asadindriyehi. No, try to understand this vishayam, sense objects, and these senses which are dragging towards the sense enjoyment. Know them very well. Atmagrahana nirbhadam pasya vaikalpiyam brahmam. It is a brahmam inside. Brahmam means a kind of illusion that is created inside. Atmagrahana nirbhadam pasya vaikalpiyam manam. It is a vikalpam, that is. Vaikalpiyam means vikalpam. That means the mind is saying to us there is happiness in all these sense objects. And that's why we are running after that. And the self, Atma Grahana Nirbhadam, Atma is not looking for that. My desires manifest in the form of this Brahman, and that is driving me to all the objects to enjoy in this world. Krishna is saying, Atma Grahana Nirbhadam, Atma is not looking for any kind of satisfaction from the sense objects. Who is looking then? My desires and my subtle body, this is happening. So he says to him, Kshipto avamanido, because it is like that, Kshipto avamanido asiddhi. In other words, suppose you are insulted also, Krishna is saying you should know that where it is happening, to whom it is addressed to, and what that process is. Because you are stuck in this state of avidya, that is why you are feeling insulted by the world. You are feeling insulted by the world. Otherwise, there is no necessity to get insulted. Tadida sannibhadhova vrityava parihabidaha. He says here, isn't it? That. See, he says here, whether reproached or insulted, that whatever it may happen, even if your livelihood is threatened, Krishna says, you shouldn't get upset about that. Because tadida sannibhadhova vrityava parihabidaha. And adding to that, Krishna says, Nishtido motridova. Suppose somebody passes urine on you, and even then you should stay in that state of realization. That is what Krishna is saying to us. Even in, because passing on urine somebody means it's a really insulting thing to do, isn't it? To that extent, let them insult your body, Krishna is saying to Uddhava. To such an extent, and at that time when that happens, if you can say within, they are not insulting me, they are insulting the body, not me. If you can come to that state, you can escape from here, Krishna says. Pakana's story is famous on this. Pakana was born from a very lower family. Lower family means pariah families, as they are called, untouchables in that days they were called. But realization was very high, Pakana. And he was, in them days, a very rigid society. The upper caste won't allow the lower caste to come closer anywhere. They were strict about that. So Pakanar had to struggle very hard. He used to make these baskets from the bamboo poles and all that. Cut them and all, make baskets. And he will only go in the late in the evening with these baskets to some houses and sell them. And whatever little money he got, how much money will he make by selling these baskets in a day? Very little money he'll get, and he has to buy food from that and live a simple life. But in realization, Pakanar was very, very high. Very high. So one instance, he had no money and he was very starving. He had no food to eat. So he was walking through the street. That time a fruit vendor has a lot of fruits piled up on a trolley-like thing, and he was selling the fruits. He left the trolley somewhere and went away to do something. He went away for a few minutes. Pakanar was hungry, starving. He thought that let me take a fruit, one or two fruits, and have it, because he was starving. And so he took a couple of fruits from there and started eating. By then the fruit vendor has come back and he saw. He started beating him. He started beating him for taking the fruits away. So he started beating him. Pakanar says to him, others also joined, you know, the crowd, how they are. Crowd is looking for something. So they found a thief, so they found somebody to beat him up. So everybody started beating him. Pakanar says to them, beat him nicely. I've told him not to do it, but he has done it again, he said. Pakanar is saying to them, that beat him nicely, he said, showing his body to them. Beat him very well. They couldn't say anything to him. He says that is that state Krishna is talking about. He says, if you can do that with your body, that anything, let it come from the society to you, still able to see that they cannot do anything to you. It's only done to the body. So it can even come to the, Krishna says, nishtido mutrido va, even if they pass urine on you, bahur daivam pragalmbida, shreyaskama krichagad, atma atmanam udharet. Krishna, in this way, you should elevate yourself, he says. It's not easy, is it? Here we are in spiritual life with all our ego, big egos running around all over the world. I am a Swami, I am this, I am that. What does it matter now? See what Krishna has to say about it. Krishna is saying to us, this is what is expected actually, that to such an extent we have to become amanitam inside us. To that extent, degree. It is then that Uddhava said to Krishna, oh, it is too much you are expecting from me. 115 years with Krishna. It's after that he is saying this, imagine. And Krishna is saying to him, no, this is what is the standard, he says. If you come up to this standard, you can come. So Uddhava says, it's not possible. Krishna says, don't say that. I will tell you a story of a person who has done it. And then he saw the Bhikshu Gita started. So, important thing is that when you study Bhagavadam, these are the things to take note of. If this is not happening, all your institution, all your examination courses, titles, what you've got, it's all useless at the end. That's all for this world only. Spiritual life is this. This is what spiritual life is. And this is what we should be, try to get to this state, what Krishna is saying this. And that culture developing that is Krishna consciousness. Nothing else. Then Krishna says to Uddhava, Kshipto avamanido asiddhi, pralambo suido athava, tadida sannibhadhova, vrityava parihavidaha, nishido mutrido jair buddhaivam pragambidaha, shreyaskama krichagada, atmana mudharen. Krishna says one thing is acceptable. Atman, Atmana Mudharet. Elevate yourself, your soul, by yourself. Atman, Atmana Mudharet. He says in the Bhagavadam. And the same thing in the Bhagavad Gita also. Is it not? Atman, Atmana Mudharet. Krishna says, you have to come up yourself. You have to elevate yourself. If you remember that verse in the 6th chapter, I think. in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see exactly the same thing. Atman Atmanam Uddhared. Uddhared Atman Atmanam Atmanam Avasadayal. Atmanyev Atmano Bandhu Atmayev Ribiratmana. There's a verse in the 6th chapter. Uddhared Atman Atmanam. That's exactly the same thing Krishna is saying. Atman Atmanam Uddhared. One has to elevate oneself. There is no other way, shortcut in spiritual life. We develop all kinds of false identity, understanding of these things. When we come to spiritual life, we make it more like a very ritualistic phenomenon, and it does not help. So Uddhava Vacha, he says to him, Edhaiva anubuddhedam vadado vadadam vara sudasamahidam manya atman asad adikramam. He says, Vidushamabhi vijna tuam prakritirhi beliyasi. What is the reason for that? Uddhava is saying here, prakritirhi beliyasi. Prakriti in a person or swabhavam in a person is very, very powerful. It won't allow us to easily do these things. Like what happened to this thing, I won't be able to take it, Uddhava says to him. Why? Prakriti hi beliyasi. Prakriti is very, very powerful. Hrade tvad aniradatva shandastam charanalayam. Charanalayan says, unless you have that kripa from you, comes only by Krishna's grace, these things will happen in life. Normally it won't happen in our life. These things won't happen. We'll somehow go through like this, the way we are now. But only when Krishna's kripa, grace comes, He will put us in a situation like this. And it is at that time that will get rid of this manam from inside. Otherwise it won't go easily. This is the difficulty. You take any great personality who have made it in this life, you will see they have gone through this at some time or the other in their life. They were offended. Krishna has pulled them through this difficult times in their life. And that is when you will know how Krishna's power works. At the moment, we are looking for Krishna to help us for our plan, isn't it, to execute. But that won't be there in these things. You will notice that. So anywhere it is this, like this, that that when somebody speaks to us insulting way or offensive way, at that time, the best thing to do is that, to think that you have nothing to do with that body. Body only you can insult. Body you can offend, criticize. But they can't insult you, they can't insult the self. So, it is at that time that, in that situation, you have to separate the body from you. So, we want freedom from the body. So, keeping the body away all the time, that is the treatment. That is the treatment. How to keep the body away from us. So if we have some realization that I am not this body, such a person can treat the disease. But if I am thinking I am this body, then how can I treat the body? How can I do this? It's not possible. So, that is the point here. Krishna is saying, Amanitvam is only possible. First thing, you have to learn that you are not this body. And every time when there is an instance when things happen in life, you should be able to break, stay away from the body, knowing very well that body is what is subjected to all the problems, not you. Not you. So, there are so many examples like this. There was in Ramanashramam, in Tirunamalai, there was one Vishwanatha Swami. He was And that time, that generation was well educated in spiritual life. You have to remember Kavyakanda Ganapati and all that. Highly learned scholars existed at that time. Today it's very hard to find people like that, of that caliber. But these people, coming from very extremely poor conditions, but due to their power of that realization of the spiritual life, and their intense commitment to self-realization, and plus the strong education they had in the spiritual side, they all had a wonderful spiritual life, in the sense that good tapasya. Tapasya means austerities and penances in life, and good control of the mind and senses, and never surrendering to any other conditions in this world. In other words, even in great distress and difficulty, they will not go out all the way to solve the problem. They will tolerate it. That great power of tolerance in them. Vishwanath was the one personality like that. Vishwanatha Swami, as he was called later. So this Vishwanath Swami, when he was living in the ashram, he was very austere, extremely austere. And suddenly when Ramana Maharshi disappeared from this world, what happened was, in that ashram in Tiruvannamalai, they all left. All the devotees who were living there in the ashram, they all left and went to different places. They didn't want to stay there anymore. They all went on their own, different places. So ashram was still there, because these people knew their individual spiritual life is more important than the ashram. Ashram, what, they didn't think what will happen to the ashram future. That is not important. Ramana Maharshi also never taught them like that. They told him, you come for a business, mind your business first. Afterwards you can think about other things. Whereas nowadays we don't say like that. We tell them, institution is more important, you are not important. That's wrong in spiritual life. You can do that in the business, that's okay. But in spiritual life, if you do that, it's totally opposite to that. So knowing very well that the situation there may not be very conducive, they all left, because they didn't want arguments and discussions about anything among the God brothers, which will normally happen in all institutions when the founder goes. It will happen, and therefore somebody will be looking for power, somebody will be looking for the property, somebody will be looking for something else, disciples, whatever it is. So this is not very conducive. And all of them had this knowledge that spiritual life is very much a personal thing, and they didn't want to waste their time in staying around in the ashram. And instead they thought that we'll go in the world and live wherever we have to live and whatever conditions are offered to us. But utilizing the time, they wanted to keep their sadhana strong and live their spiritual life properly. But what happened was, after his departure, the ashram became empty. So one person there, who was a grandson of Ramana Maharshi or something, he saw this change that has happened in the ashram. It was beyond belief. What he did was, he went all the way to Ramdasa Swami's ashram, somewhere near Mangalore in that area, and goes up to him, and there was one Krishnabai there. She was the associate of Ramdas, sannyasi who lived there. And she was a realized soul. In them days she was known for her realizations. A very advanced person. And she asked this Krishnabai about what she should do. So she told him that you should go and get all those great personalities who have left, bring them back together and look after them. A very tall order, isn't it? To bring hundreds of people back and to look after them. And the ashram had no financial facilities or anything. Today the ashram is opulent. It has got a lot, big goshala and big other facilities and everything. So when this happened, this devotee, grandson, he started looking for all the older devotees, where have they gone. Some of them were such stalwarts, personalities they were, so learned. And some of them had their own disciples also who were learning from them. And very, very learned people and very knowledgeable and realized personalities. Some of them were very advanced spiritually. So he started looking for them, and it was very difficult to find anyone. Where they have gone, nobody knows. They have gone to such, into seclusions. And nobody could find out. And you can imagine, in them days, there was no facilities to travel like today. There was no newspapers like the way it is today to know where what has happened. It was a time like that in the history. Mobile phones, internet, nothing there. You have to, whatever you have to do, you have to go personally and find out everywhere, everything. That was the system then. So one day, this person, Ganesh was his name, he was looking for all these devotees who have gone. And he was standing in a bus stop in Chennai, in the city. He was standing in a bus stop. Suddenly he saw one person passing through, and he noticed that, I have seen this person in the ashram before. Because in the ashram there were many visitors also were coming on a regular basis. A lot of visitors were coming, apart from the devotees who were living there. So when he saw one of those ashram maids, one who used to be sitting the ashram often, when he saw him, Ganesh went up to him and asked him, did you used to come to this ashram before? I have seen you, I think, before. He said, yes, I used to come there, but there is no, Maharshi has gone there, there is no need for me to come there. So he asked him, where are you coming from now? Where have you been now? He said, I just went to see Vishwanath Swami. He said. So it was a big news to him that Vishwanath Swami was around. He was looking for all these persons, you see. So he asked him, where is Vishwanath Swami? He said, Vishwanath Swami is living with a family there, not far from here. And he showed him the address, everything, told him, you go there and you find out. So he went into the house looking for Vishwanath Swami. When he gone to Vishwanath Swami's house, in Chennai this happened, went to Vishwanath Swami's house, a girl was sitting there in the reception, in the reception room, on a chair, comfortably situated, and she was reading some newspaper or magazine or something. So he asked her, is Vishwanath Swami here? He asked her. The girl, in a very, very casual mood, says to her, he's there working in the kitchen or something. In a very, very ignorant, not knowing about him, the girl replied like that. So she said like that, and meanwhile, the girl's mother came from inside the house looking for who has come. So this Ganesh told him that I have come to see Vishwanath Swami, is he here? So he says, yes, Vishwanath Swami is in the working in the kitchen. So when he looked, by then she went and informed Vishwanath Swami, and he came out of the kitchen. He was cooking for them. He was working as a cook in that house. When he saw that, a person who knew all the Vedam, all the Shastram, all the Puranas, Upanishads, everything, and he had such a high degree of realization in him, when he saw him in that dress, working with very clothes fully full of, you know, cooking means what? All the clothes are not gas cooking, wooden cooking and coal cooking. You can imagine how dirty you can become. And he saw him at that time, tears came from Ganesha's eyes, seeing that condition of that person. And he paid his obeisances and told Vishwanath Swami that, Vishwanath Swami, why this situation has come like this? What is the need to do this? He said to him. Could he not have stayed there? Vishwanath Swami says to him, what do you need in this world? He said, you need some food to eat. And these people are giving me some food, so I'll do some work for them. That is how they are. For them, amanitum. I'm nobody in this world. As a person, he was a highly learned person with a high degree of realization, a very close associate of Ramana Maharshi and all that. But no, amanitum inside. That amanitum state. So, so this personalities like them, there are many instances like this. If you look throughout the history, you will find that when they were born itself, that spirituality in them, that spiritual nature in that person will create like this a situation in their life. In the early life, if they have developed that attitude, later life it is not a problem. It will continue with them. Even if they become very high in spiritual life, still that quality won't leave them. Amanitum, that stage. That is that purity we are talking about. So we'll have a short break.
चेदो दर्पणमार्जनं भवमः दावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैदवचन्द्रिका विदरणं विद्यावदो जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदं पूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामगारि बहुधा निजसर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशं तव कृपा भगवन् ममामि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनि नानुरागाः तृणारविशुनीचेन तरोरभी सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरी न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कवितां वा जगदीशकामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरि भवदाद्भक्तिरहैदुगि त्वयि ऐ नन्दतनूजकिङ्करं पतितामां शमे भवाम्बुधौ कृपया तव पादपङ्गजस्थितधूलिसदृशं विचिन्तयां मृदश्रुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं कदा वपुः तवन्नामग्रहणे भविष्यदीं युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहे न मे श्लिष्य वा पादरदां पिनिष्ठुमम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विधदा दलम्बडौ मत्प्राणनाथास्तु नैव नापराः
Amanitvam. Isn't it? Amanitvam is what Krishna is talking about here. Amanitvam. So, as we saw here, the few examples, that Amanitvam, when Ganesh saw this Vishwanath, he was in tears, seeing a state of the person. Someone who had such a high degree of spiritual realization and knowledge, to see him in that state, he played straight away obeisances to him. And all the family members didn't know anything about Vishwanath's position. He was absorbed in that kind of work, isn't it? So his answer was that in order to, they realize the souls, they will do this, not allowing that manam to build up inside. They will act sometimes like that, to keep that in check inside. So these things are the... So this is a kind of sadhana, doing this in this way. Sometimes you go to holy places and ashrams like that, or places where you can do some menial work. In that way you are able to get yourself free from that manam inside, that false perception or false personality, to get rid of that. One sannyasi told me recently that in Rishikesh, it's a famous Shivananda ashram there in Rishikesh. So this sannyasi has been living there for the last 35-40 years, an older person. So he said that they have some program for teaching courses for the people. For 2 months or 3 months they invite them to stay. He says often we get lot of people from positions in Bombay and places like that. They come for to spend 2 or 3 months there in the ashram to live a simple life and to experience spiritual life, in other words. But if you look into their own ashram's instructions there, they'll tell you that if you find it difficult, you may have to leave sometimes. What it is when you go to the ashram, these are people who are holding very high positions in big corporations and all that. But when they are gone, they are told to clean the toilets and wash the clothes of those inmates there, and things like very menial kind of things. And quite often some people find it very difficult and they have to leave at that time. So just it happens like that. People deliberately to know that, because what happens is when you work in institutions and holding positions and all that, this false personality becomes built up inside. And we know that it is a false thing, because as far as body is concerned, you are nothing actually, isn't it? Body is the same for everyone. So to kill that manam or that pride that is built up, centered around that false personality inside, people do this kind of sadhana, going to some ashrams and doing some menial jobs, so that manam doesn't develop inside. Amanitam, Krishna says like this. Now, and when you only look at people, you will notice this, how they have done that in their life to get to that state. Amanitam. So one way is that, in two ways it is possible to develop this Amanitam. One possibility is that very powerful thought power, if you have very good power of thought, and you're conscious, alert all the time about yourself, not to allow this false personality to build up inside, assumed personality in other words. If that doesn't build up inside, you can escape through the power of thought. There are people who do that still. Second possibility is that you create circumstances in life favorably for that. And when it comes, that when you get that opportunity, going along with it, without reacting against that. Suppose sometimes Krishna can put you into that situation in your life. Krishna may take away everything from you and put you in a very awkward situation in life. And that opportunity is given, if you are able to hold on to that and utilize that opportunity to develop Amanitvam, that will work. So these two possibilities are there. One through vicharam and other through directly accepting the material conditions. Utilizing the material conditions, if favorable situations comes in life, utilizing that and changing yourself like that. This is why, if you look how it happens, it's very interesting. Some big sannyasis in big ashrams, you will notice, they will not take prasadam first. They'll make sure all the guests are fed, and they themselves will go and serve the prasadam to all the guests, so that this amanitam doesn't build up. Ashram is very rich. Ashram can provide people. Ashram can employ people to serve the food. But they won't do that. They will go to the kitchen and work there, cooking there in the kitchen. And when they serve the prasadam, they will make sure everybody is fed. And they will go and ask each and every one in the prasadam hall, have you had enough? Can I bring something more for you? Or in that way, in a nice way, they will serve more and more prasadam and please that person to such a level that you will not allow the manam to build up inside. These are all various ways how people practice it, different kinds of sadhana. I'm just saying that this possibility is also there. That means in worldly life, if you get an opportunity any time to develop this samanitvam, one can utilize that and do it. That's also possible. Or the alternatively, through the power of thinking and being alert about it all the time. That not to allow this assumed personality to become strong inside. Because once it becomes stronger, it's very difficult to root it out. Wherever we go, it will be there inside us, giving us. So great personalities, you can see that Tyagaraja Swami's life is one example, that he had amanitvam completely in him. At home, brother was not very pleased with him because he was not going out to work or earning money. And brother was a very poor person. He was not very rich. So you can't blame him for that. He was saying that you should now earn something on your own. But Tyagaraja was busy with his chanting the holy name. He had no time for anything else. He was chanting Ramchandra's name throughout the day and night, isn't it? 960 million times he chanted Ramchandra's name. So, in some instances, people advised his brother that brother is complaining to all others that my brother is like this, he's not willing to cooperate, he's not pulling the weight, yes. In the office also we have the same problem. So the brother started complaining this about Tyagaraja Swami. So Tyagaraja was saying, and brother was, and people were advising him, he was not listening. So finally, one Tahsildar, who was in distinct charge of Taluk or something, he advised him that you get him married, everything will be okay. Because then people will become more responsible, the normal remedy what is recommended. Now what has happened was he got married, and the wife also joined the same Sankirtan movement. That she was also not willing. So earlier he had to only support Tyagaraj, now he has to support both of them. And they are living in the same house, isn't it? So life was very hard for them, but still their consciousness was such that when the brother finally told him that you have to leave now, I can't support you anymore like this, two of you here. So Tyagaraj says, alright, we'll go out and beg. Then, so what they call as Unchavruti. Unchavruti means going out and ask for, they'll decide a few houses only we'll beg today. If we get anything from those houses, we will eat. If we don't get it, we'll fast. This was the principle. And they will tie one pot into their neck and show the pot in front of them. They won't even look at whatever they have put in. If the pot is full, they'll come back. Finish, that's it. They won't collect anything more than that. To such an extent, they were strict about everything, about material life is concerned. All only for one reason, that this amanitvam, important for them, that manam doesn't build up inside. So you can see that in Tyagaraja's case, how much he had to tolerate, isn't it? First he was alone, then brother told him that this cannot go on like this, but he was finding it difficult how to tell his brother to leave home. But then somebody suggested that you get him married, then everything will be okay. But then things didn't get better, it got worse. Then somebody told him that if he has a child, everything will be, he'll become more responsible. That's how the society say. This is all society's problems, not his problem, not Tyagaraja's problem. Society creates all these problems. Society says, oh no, no, if he has children, he'll be alright. Afterwards, the child was born. But what has happened? Nothing has changed. Earlier it was only Tyagaraja, now it has become three. Remember, the three together started going out for begging for the food. So, Amanitvam is that state when one realizes that that Tyagaraja is concerned, body is not so important. But what can you do? The brother is not in that state. Brother wanted some proper prasadam, everything on time. So finally he handed over. He said, this is your share of the house property, and sold that and given it to the property and left him like that. Tyagaraja was to leave home like that. In that way he left. So when he got that money, what did Tyagaraja do? He gave it in charity to others. This man who had nothing with him, he gives everything in charity to others when he got the money. And then the next day he says, I'll get it tomorrow when I want. This is how they were. That intense degree of renunciation inside. Not to accept anything more than what is necessary. All that is helpful for Amanitvam. Amanitvam comes from that. So normally, because it is like this, this principle, generally for devotees, that intelligence won't work in that direction. In the sense that they don't like to take responsibility on their heads. So, he'll think that every morning when he wakes up, he thinks, so I have to eat some food today, don't I? That's how he thinks. Doesn't think about keeping it for tomorrow or collecting anything for the next day. That thought doesn't occur in his mind. So, that time he will start this unchavruti. Unchavruti means this tying this pot onto the neck. And then he was a good singer. He could sing well. So, he'll go and sing in front of some house. They'll give some food. Sometimes it's rice, sometimes it's dal, something like that, or vegetables. Whatever he has got, he'll put it together and cook all together and eat that. This is how he maintained his body. The king invited him to be the court musician. He says to Ramchandra, do you want me to go there and sing for his pleasure? He said. This is how that nature inside, that if he wrote many famous songs about that. Ramani Sanidhi Sukhama, or should I go and live in the Sanidhi of the king? Like asking Ramchandra about that. So this is impossible. For one for whom this ego is not a problem, and or whom that when the ego gets beaten, if it's not a problem, or vanity is not a problem, such a person, he can live in this world without manam. Without manam. And such a person, Krishna is saying here, is amanitvam. So you can imagine what Krishna is expecting from us, from this verse, isn't it? We have got this some concept, a certain amount of rounds every day, and a little bit of deity worship, and a few harinam, everything is sorted, isn't it? It is not so. Unfortunately, it's not so. Krishna is saying here that these qualities, if you get, Krishna says, you will get a little bit release from the grip of the body. That's all. If you have this quality, that's all it begins with. So, Amanitvam, he says here, that Amanitvam's definition itself, if you look into the Bhagavad Gita, he says there, Amanitvam is that Amanitvam manino bhavo manitvam almanaha shlakhanam tad abhavam amanitvam. One definition of Amanitvam is that never to speak about oneself. Never to speak about oneself. Amanitvam is that. Some people will say always about themselves, isn't it? They'll talk about themselves a lot. But not talking about oneself is Amanitvam. Altman Amanitum Manino Bhavam Bhavo Manitum Altmanaha Shlakhanam Tadabhavaha Amanitum Tadabhavaha Amanitum. So, next one, Adambitvam. So, I think we have talked about Amanitum enough to understand what it means. And if, as I said, there's two ways. One, if by keeping in the mind this quality as important in spiritual life, if one can be alert about that, that would be one way of developing that amanitam inside. Secondly, when Krishna has put us in a situation like that in life, if an opportunity comes like that, utilizing that opportunity to develop this amanitam. Because in spiritual life, you never know how Krishna will put anybody in any situation. Things can all change overnight in life, isn't it? That all your castles what you have built up can collapse one day, like the dominoes, everything can drop one after the other. So that alertness to know that this is an opportunity to develop amanitam. Krishna says, adambitvam. Next one is adambitvam. This adambitvam is a little bit more subtle than amanitam. Amanitam is a little gross thing. Adambitvam is a very subtle thing. Adambitvam means one who has no dambham. Dambham. The word dambham, the translation here is adambitvam is pridelessness, isn't it? Ahamanitvam is humility and adambitvam is pridelessness. Now, adambitvam is a little subtle or sushmam than amanitvam. Dambha means to show off. To show off. Because manam everybody has. It's natural. Through the birth or through this material position, it will come. Which one? Manam. And manam, Krishna says, has its own way of manifesting in a person. Manam. As we said before, through birth it happens. Through wealth it happens. Through education it happens. Through beauty it happens. Through society it happens. Various ways manam can build up in a person, isn't it? So that you have to rectify in the way Krishna has spoken, these two ways. One, through proper knowledge, that this is a, manam is an assumed personality. If you remember that word, what does mean? Assumed personality. That means that's not your real you. It is something that you have superimposed on yourself and started identifying with it. I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, like this. Isn't it? So many various things people identify like that. And building up an image like that within yourself about you and living like that. That is manam. That's also manam. Now, dambham is different. Manam comes from our birth, wealth, position in this world, education, beauty, or bodily strength, various things, or social connections and things like that. Various factors contribute to this manam. And that one has to know what is causing that and slowly wipe it out from inside. Dambham is different. Dambham is a subtle thing, it happens. Dambham is a very special thing in the sense that in order to impress others doing things in this world, to impress in front of others that I am like that, you know, something like that. So, you can see this in spiritual life also. Sometimes you notice sometimes devotees, I'll take the devotees itself as example. When four people are coming, they'll just take the beads and start chanting. Suddenly to show off to others that I am a devotee, always chanting the holy name. Only when they see somebody, you'll notice this with people. Some people are like that. They won't be chanting otherwise. But when they see someone, they'll take the beads back out and start chanting. Similarly, I've seen some people, suddenly if you want to go and tell them something, immediately you'll pull out the Brahmin string and start chanting Gayatri. All we are daily seeing this in our own daily life. You see this. If you're a little bit observant, you will notice all this. All this show goes on in all the temples. It's no question about that. Everywhere in the world. That is Dambham. So, some people you can see when they come to Salsangam also, they'll bring the beads and they'll be chanting in the Salsangam also, and they'll sit there chanting because they say they'll give you the impression that they don't have any time for anything else. They are so fixed in spiritual life that is a show. It is nothing but a show. Then this comes from inside, a desire to impress others, a need to impress others, that they are very spiritually minded. This is in spiritual life. What to talk about in material life? If in spiritual life, if this can happen, you can imagine what level it will be in material life. Material life, better not to discuss that, because that's a false thing. Completely false it is, isn't it? What car you drive? How many liters capacity is your engine? These are the questions in the office they are asking each other. And where did you go on holidays? And which airline did you fly? And did you fly first class? This is all dambam. That dambam inside, manifesting in different ways, isn't it? So this dambam, you can see, it is self-generated within. It's not externally put into you. It's self-generated within, and it comes out in these different ways, isn't it? Some people will say, my children are all put in nice positions, they are all well settled, and they are connected through their marriages to these families. What does it all mean? You're going to go from here one day, and there will be nobody is going to ask everything about you. But in society, how all this comes up, that is what Krishna refers to as dambam. Dambam. So, very great devotees, they will say, we are beggars, they will say, we have nothing to be proud of. Nothing in there to be proud of. So, that is what Krishna says here, that adhambhitvam. So, even in the adhyatma lokam, in spiritual world itself, there is plenty of this dambham. Plenty of them. Better not to discuss the material side of it, because that is a show business altogether anyway. There's nothing much point in talking about it. But even in spiritual life, after people coming to spiritual life, when the dambham has not gone away, it will come out in different forms like this. Different forms like this. People saying, this guru is thinking, the disciple is paying his obeisances when he sees me or not. If the thought comes like that for the guru, then what thought is that? How would you explain that? All sorts of problems like this happens in the temple. I don't know whether you have heard, you should ask. Sometimes a few gurus come to the office. One guru's vyasasana is little lower than the other guru's vyasasana. This guru gets upset. This is dambam. That is dambam. He says, why haven't you put my vyasasana in the same level as the other one? They quarrel about that. They get insulted. They get offended, all these things. So this is what Krishna is saying here. Dambam. So as long as this dambham is there, Krishna says that even those who are performing sadhana in spiritual life, they will have this. So world respects certain things. World respects certain things. And in what way you have to face the world, that you have to know. That you have to know yourself. So without any sincerity, in order to receive that recognition from the world, behaving to suit that is dambam. That means you know what world recognizes, right? In the world has certain standard, in the world, general public, they have a recognition of certain things. So knowing what the world wants and accepting that as your standard, and accordingly, and you are behaving in that. But sincerity is not important. If you do it like that, that is dambam. In everything in spiritual life, sincerity is what matters, isn't it? If you are genuine, serious about, sincere about your Krishna consciousness, then you don't have to behave like this. But here what's happening is, these people who are doing this, for them, they recognize what the world recognizes. They take the world as the measuring tool. Yes, measuring tool. If you do that, that is dambam. That is dambam. If you do that, you will never have peace inside. You will never have peace inside. And the world will play monkey with you. World will make you like a monkey. And make you feel offended. In so many instances this happens. Because due to ignorance, that we do not understand that we have come to spiritual life for what? To realize the truth, isn't it? We want, that's what we need. All this world recognition, what does it matter? Who is going to care for all these things at the end? One day you're dead and gone, and that's it. Many, many big people have come here and gone. Nothing has happened here, isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here, that it will, if you keep on developing this dambam inside, world will keep beating you all the time. So therefore, adhambitvam. Krishna says adhambitvam. So just like you can see, Sometimes Ekadashi day, you fasted, and everybody is saying, oh, what a great devotee you are. On Ekadashi day, has not taken a drop of water. But Dwadashi day, he has compensated for Ekadashi. He ate so well on Dwadashi. So he has compensated for Ekadashi day. So everybody is saying, oh, he doesn't eat anything on Ekadashi day, no? He is such a great devotee, he doesn't eat any Ekadashi day. So, but, and even if you want to eat something, you are not able, still you are resisting that. And that is another kind of dambham. Another kind of dambham that is. Because dambham is like that, we won't know about it. When you simply follow rules, regulations, this will happen. You should know every rule and regulation when you are following, that where you should take it and where to leave it. That also you have to know that, otherwise this will happen. So, so everywhere this dambham will, these are all subtle things, that's what I was saying in the beginning. Unlike Amanitvam, Adambitvam is a very subtle thing. Chandrasekhara Saraswati, who was the Shankaracharya of the Sringeri, he used to say about this very nicely. He says, sir, to present in front of us, I am worshipable. Like that, that attitude. And in different ways you exhibit that. That is the Adambitvam. Adambitvam. So, so, especially in the, Krishna says, in the spiritual field, this can cause a big problem. Narayana Guru used to talk about that. He says, there is a book called Atmavadesha Shatakam, 100 verses about Atmavadesham. He mentions there that the problem is that, he said, this dambham, if you try to control it through thought power and all that, in another form it will come up. In another form it will come up. And it will make you realize like this. People in spiritual life, this has happened many times. Somebody starts thinking that I am a incarnation. I have been sent here by Krishna with a mission. I'm a man with a mission, in other words. And I've come here to save others. This is another illusion in the head. And all these thoughts can happen to people. And that ahanda, that ahangaram, that will come in different dresses. It will come out. And that is dambham. So, in other words, manifested form of that false ego inside of this false understanding is dambham, in a manifested form. So, Krishna says, amanitvam, adambitvam. First amanitvam and then adambitvam. So, the solution to this, another process, what Krishna says is, that it is in the Bhagavadam, when he talks about that if you come to get opportunity to associate with greatly realized souls, jnanis or jivan muktas related or yogis, if you go and sit next to them, if you sit near to them, you will get the treatment for this. Mahatmas, what they do, they would not tolerate your ego. They will not tolerate your ego. And if you are willing to surrender to them, then they will treat you for your disease. If you are willing to surrender to them, that normally it is like that. That if you had the association, some great realized soul who knows spiritual life properly and who had the proper understanding, if you are closer to them, they will talk to you in such a way that they'll strip you off from your dambham and manam. So they will not give you any respect. They will not respect your body. That is the difference. What we want is respect for the body in this world, isn't it? So, in the world, everybody respects your body or your ego. That's what they respect. They don't respect you. If you are thinking they respect you, that's a misunderstanding. What they respect you is respecting your body. You say respecting your body, including your father, mother, brothers, sisters, family, everybody. They respect your body. In other words, the vanity, what we have, it has some value in this world. Isn't it? So, without respecting your ego or vanity inside, one who respects you properly, you, the person, is only one person in this world, that is a spiritual master, proper spiritual master. He is the only one who doesn't respect your body or who respects your ego. Instead, he respects yourself properly, and that is the spiritual master. So you can see where how difficult it is to have a spiritual master who has that state of realization, isn't it? Who knows this, how to deal with a disciple in that way. That a spiritual master who is situated in that state only can deal with a disciple like that. That when a disciple comes, that able to deal with the disciple, knowing very well not to deal with his false ego or with the body, rather deal with the soul inside that person. Inside that person. That is why one person who never respects your ego, absolutely no respect, any trace to or respect your ego or to your body, and who respects you the maximum, that is the spiritual master. That is the spiritual master. This is why we have to understand the principle of Guru principle. Guru is not a person. Guru is not a person. It is Guru Tattvam, they call it. The Tattvam, the spiritual master, principle of the spiritual master. Like in the Bhagavadam, Krishna is saying there, Atmano Guru Atmaiva. The self himself, when we are ready for realization of the self, Krishna himself from within as Antaryami, he manifests outside in the form of a personality, and he has to send your attention inward towards the soul. That is his responsibility. Now that person, if he has come in the proper way from inside, Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada, it is his speciality, because he is not an ordinary person, that Guru who has come like that. That Guru has come from inside. Antaryami has put that person in front of you, who will guide you in a such a way that he will take away this Amanitvam, Adambitvam from inside. He has to be able to do that. Only if it is happening, you can say that person has come from inside. Otherwise, it will become simply an institutional thing. Amanitvam, Adambitvam. So, he has only respect for one thing, this Guru. What is that? He respects your Swarupam. That means your spiritual identity, he respects that. So, and he has no respect for your personality. Guru has no respect for your personality. Guru has respect for your spiritual identity. That's what he respects. That is what his treatment is for that. He is treating to get you out of that personality to the spiritual identity, isn't it? So whatever that is necessary to get you free from that grip of the personality, he has to do that. So he won't respect your ego, he won't respect your body, he won't respect your position, nothing. What he will respect is your spiritual identity as the soul. That's what he respects, and that's what he will always be interested. He will not be interested in your material position or bodily position or any other things in this world. So normally in the very advanced people, when there are proper disciples, they will play with their ego a lot. They will play with their ego a lot. And you can see in the Puranams, if you read, Narada Maharshi is a personality like that. He plays with the ego of the people, isn't it? You can see, if he knows that there are two people who are both very strong in their egos, he will bring them together. He'll bring them together. Hiranyaksha and our Varaha brought together. That is Narada Muni's job, isn't it? Kamsa and Krishna, he has to bring them together. And so many other instances you will see, Narada Maharshi brings people together. When he knows that there is too much ego in a person, then Narada Muni makes arrangements in such a way, he will bring them closer to someone who will smash their ego down. So, when two people create trouble between people, and when that happens between them, this will be wiped out. This ego from inside will be wiped out, and he will create the situation for that. So that is why he does, isn't it? He will say one thing, that he goes to Kamsa and says to him that the demigods are doing all these things against you. And he goes and tells the demigods that Kamsa is like this, he's already started killing all the children. And like this enmity creating between to different groups. This is Narada Maharshi has done that. The reason behind that is that Narada Maharshi knows very well if this doesn't happen, that ego will not go away from them inside. So, in spiritual master is like that. His duty is this, that somehow or the other the ego must go, has to be taken out from the disciple. And in order to do that, he will deal with him in such a way, only purely respecting him as the self, nothing to, no respect for the body or for the or for any other positions in this. One, I think I mentioned this before, Seshadri Swamiji was like that. Once one devotee gave him a very nice shawl to cover himself. Seshadri got it and immediately tore it into pieces. A very expensive shawl, tore that into many pieces and tied it into a buffalo which was standing next to that. And that person who gave the shawl wanted to tell the world, I gave this shawl to him. Because everyone recognizes Seshadri Swamiji. He still, ashram is there in Trinamala, you can see that. So everybody recognized that. Everybody wants, he wants everyone to say that that shawl was given by such and such a person. So he asked him like this, that he says to him that the person who gave the shawl, Swamiji, why did you do that? He says, it looks better on the buffalo, he said. Deliberately speaking in such a way to get that ego from inside. Amanitvam adambitvam. So between this amanitvam and adambitvam is when these Mahatmas, great personalities, have a role to play, has a big role to play. So their presence is like this. Sometimes they will scold you or abuse you, criticize you, everything. And many ways they will give you trouble. The only reason behind all that is when you get there. Now people say that only one intention they have, they want to treat your ego. So nowadays you see people are asking, where is a realized soul, where can we find one? But when you go there and when you really started living with them, then you will know that it's not so easy dealing with, living with them and spending time with them. It's not easy. So if these two things happen, which one, amanitvam and adambitvam happens, to a large extent, the body, our the body's grip on us will go with these two things. You'll get a little bit release from the body with amanitvam and adambitvam. If these two things happen, you will get a little release from the grip of the body, into the body. In other words, many distresses, what happens due to this body, you will get it reduced. You will get it reduced. In fact, many of the diseases what we get in body is due to these two, manam and dambam. They are the cause of the disease, isn't it? Some people are thinking that diabetes getting diabetes is a kind of a respectability in the society. People have that also, thinking like that. So, and because very rich people used to get diabetes before, but now everybody is getting that. But in the olden days, only rich people, they, because of their indulgence in the sweets and other things like that, isn't it? So, so Krishna says here that this amanitvam and adambitvam are two things which he mentions here particularly, that if they have gone, then this connection between Kshetram and Kshetrajna, which we called as Chijada Granthi, that Chijada Granthi will become a little loose. Will become a little loose. Don't be so tight. In other words, so both of these two things, Amanitvam and Adambitvam itself, is will only happen when you are in contact with someone who is your well-wisher, who is your genuine well-wisher. Only such a person can do that. Such a person can do that. And knowing very well and treating oneself on his own, that is another way one can do it. Knowing one will accepting that these difficulties I have, amanitvam and adambitvam, and accordingly living in this world, not allow that to build up inside. Amanitvam and adambitvam, manitvam, manam and dambam, in other words. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, in order this amanitum adambitum happened, our spiritual life has to be 100% sincere. Otherwise, it will not happen. 100% sincerity is expected because, in other words, you should not go into spiritual life expecting something or thinking that something is going to happen in life by going into spiritual life. That means if you have any preconceptions in spiritual life and go into spiritual path to fulfill that spirit desire inside, then amanitum adambitum will not be possible. Not possible. Sometimes you can see someone has seen a guru and he looks very good and going after him, thinking that somebody has impressed you in some way and going after him. So in an example, it's spoken about that Ramatirtha saw Vivekananda, and the same problem happened with Ramatirtha and Vivekananda. Somebody told Ramatirtha that Vivekananda's eyes were very powerful, because he was all, if you look at his photos even, you will see that he had that powerful look in his eyes, isn't it? Ramatirtha says to him, told this person who told Ramatirtha about Vivekananda's eyes, he says, if you are going after him after seeing his eyes, then I can say, tell you only one thing, you are going to jump into a big problem, he says to him. And he gave this one interesting story about that. He says, Ramatirtha story, if you read, you will see. So, once one sadhu went for begging for food in a street. He went for begging for food. There, one woman, one housewife, she saw this sadhu and gave food to that sadhu. So sadhu says that this Mahatma's eyes are very, very strong, very illuminating eyes and very effulgent eyes from coming from him. Said like that. And she said, it's really attractive eyes he has got. This sadhu has got really attractive eyes with him. So next day, this sadhu comes again. But this time when he came, he was holding on to somebody else's hand and with his help he was walking. What he has done, he has taken out both his eyes and put it on a plate and told him that you offer these eyes to that lady who was making this comment and tell her these were the eyes which she was talking about yesterday. She can have that. He says to her. So, and because you like my eyes so much, you can have them, he says to her. So, when you see something externally in a person, it's like a bodily features, or sometimes he hears the sound of a person. Some people tell me that they have taken initiation because spiritual master could sing nicely. So they took initiation from him. Things like that, or they heard him speaking and they were impressed by that. If you get carried away by all these things in spiritual life, you will be lost. You will be lost. That is what Krishna is saying here. That that is all a personality external. So seeing a personality outside and start taking that very seriously, and one should never go to spiritual life in that way. You should never go. That has happened to 99% people in this world. Proper understanding of spiritual life never happens. It's always like that. Seeing a person either through propaganda, everybody saying, oh, he's a real guru, genuine guru he is. Oh, and the personality whom you have seen, what you have seen in that person, all these things have made you to decide to take the initiation and follow that person in spiritual life. And later on getting frustrated about that. One should never get into spiritual life in that way. That will all end up in frustration at the end. So, just like a doctor, even if he's not good looking, suppose he is curing my disease, that's what matters, isn't it? I'll go to him. I won't be very bothered whether he's good looking or not good looking. That's not what matters. And another doctor who is very good looking and he speaks very nicely, but I'm not getting cured, is that worthwhile going to him again? So similarly, spiritual life is also like that. Spiritual life is also like that. First of all, that is why Krishna is saying here that first of all you have to know the intensity of the disease what we have got. Our disease is pretty bad. It's a very bad disease inside. And you should only go to a place where it can be treated and cured. Otherwise one should not go in that direction. That is what the first two things. This Amanitvam and Adambitvam will help a person, because if a person who has got these two qualities, Amanitvam and Adambitvam, that person will not be controlled by the body too much. He will have that release from the body which will encourage him to make the right decision in spiritual life. So we'll stop here and we'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadhyama Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.